This is Rugby League on Proper Sport.
Good evening, that time of week again to our Rugby League chat right here on Proper Sport. And boy, oh boy, have we got plenty to get stuck into tonight. Big win for the Tigers, the Dragons nilled. Surely Sam Tompkins isn't being signed to get the Dragons out of the Championship next season. Huddersfield sleepwalking into the Championship themselves, another defeat. Danny Brough sent off for dissent late on. When did he last win them a big game? I'm going to ask that question again tonight because I don't know the answer. Leeds beaten by Wigan on Friday night. Thanks to Richie Myler, cost me an absolute fortune. We'll discuss that in a little bit as well. Leeds, did they put the queue on the rack too early? Or did they run out of gas because they got their substitutions wrong? Should the blame fall at Brian McDermott's door? We'll ask that question. Wakefield, big winners over St Helens. As tipped up last week by Phil Kaplan and my good self, the legend said we were bonkers for picking Wakey. They're back to winning ways. Big win for Warrington. Spirited effort from Hull KR, but they've lost Sean Lunt. Injuries mounting up for Rovers. They're not quite mounting up as high, though, as they are at Widnes. The Vikings beaten again. Spirited in defeat, but quite simply running out of troops as Hull keep their top four hopes alive. It's Saints, Wigan, Warrington, Cass in the top four. We've got live rugby league coming this weekend, and we're going to talk all about the Women's Super League. Phil and I were at Oddsall yesterday. Boy, oh boy, what an atmosphere and what a game. Looking forward to it. Get your thoughts in as ever at RL on OI. We're live on Facebook. Please, if you're watching, listening, whatever you're doing, share it with your friends. Tell them we're here. Get stuck in. The more, the merrier. It's Mark, Gary, Richard and Phil. And you, the listener, of course, here on Proper Sport Rugby League.
You're listening to Rugby League on Proper Sport.
Hello. How's it going? Have you had a good weekend? I see we watched a lot of rugby this weekend. I too, I've enjoyed it, but none more so than yesterday. Damn it, the Rhinos even win at Women's Rugby League. But I tell you what, I enjoyed what I saw of it, and I've watched it with thousands of other people on Facebook. I had a good chat with Andrew Chalmers yesterday about the whole streaming debate. But that's where we're starting, Phil. Top of the shop, Women's Super League. You and I were there yesterday. Great atmosphere. Decent crowd at Oddsall. Majority stayed behind after the men's gate to watch the women. I'd argue they saw a better game.
I'd
Leeds
agree.
Win.
I don't think it was about who won. I think you can certainly say in the context of the match, Leeds' goal line defence for a new team was fantastic, particularly in the second half when Bradford really hammered their line. I think there were four or five sets in a row that Leeds kept Bradford out. But more importantly, it was the reinvigoration of one of the great modern-day derbies, and I think that's what captured the fans' imagination, that it was the Bulls and the Rhinos were back. I think the standard of the game was exceptional, and we shouldn't have expected anything other than that, and anyone that thinks there is a difference between men's and women's game, they needed to be there. The tackles were ferocious, skill levels were great. I think there was even a fight towards the end, which again, we're not condoning violence at all, but was great to see. And it really mattered. There was passion. Obviously, we know there were three of the Leeds players that used to play for Bradford, and so there was some real intensity and rivalry about that. In fact, no sooner had Lois Forsell, the new Leeds captain who played for Bradford
Judas.
Last year, touched the ball than chance of Judas from the touchline, which is exactly what you want. It was just a great event, and I think by 20 minutes in, it wasn't a women's game of rugby league, it was just a great game of rugby league, and we just thoroughly enjoyed the skill level, the commitment, the ferocity that was on show. And if women's rugby league can maintain that through the season, and let's hope it can, then it's a real shot in the arm for the sport over here.
I tell you what as well, Phil, and I say, when I first started watching women's rugby league, well, 20 odd years ago now, wasn't it, and The Gillaroos and the Kangaroos, what do they call the Kangaroos?
Or
what?
Silver Ferns.
The Silver Ferns there, and certainly, you know, they're a little bit ahead of England at this moment in time. So what do you reckon about this idea then, that, you know, the Women's Super League from there, we all know literally Yorkshire, Lancashire from there, and, you know, to get them to the test level there and get that sort of intensity and get that quality from a point of view where they can, you know, enjoy that experience by playing against quality from there. Three match series with the Warrior Roses, Yorkshire, Lancashire. What do you reckon about? Because I reckon if that, because people will support Women's Rugby League, and I reckon that would be a sell. I reckon there'd be a crowd around about 5,000 people.
I think you probably hit on something there, on the basis of the fact that at the moment there are seven Super League teams and they are spread across Yorkshire and Lancashire. So I think there is a merit in having an extra level of rugby in.
Don't get me wrong, there'll be somebody in Cumbria who'll be setting up a women's team.
Let's hope they aren't. Hopefully somebody in the south of England.
I wouldn't mind coaching the Yorkshire girls and all, because they like to get ripped in. They show plenty of skill. I'll tell you what, they'll be allowed to play without vision and awareness under me, I'll tell you.
Both teams were playing with plenty of vision and awareness yesterday. Mm. There was some real quality in the pivot positions. But I think the whole idea of bringing in the Women's Super League now is to make England more competitive when the 2021 World Cup comes round over here. Yeah. And I think there's some real possibility of high profile if we get that right.
You hit on a great point about the Leeds team. I must admit, yesterday I thought they'll be a bit undercut. They won't be ready. New team. I know they've got a couple of key signings, like Solois, etc. Yesterday, if you'd have covered the faces up of all the players, you wouldn't have been able to determine what you were watching yesterday, because it was that good.
Yeah.
The attacking structures, very reminiscent of watching Super League rugby. The tackling at some point. I mean, there were some collisions in the first 20 minutes. We were wincing, weren't we?
Absolutely.
You didn't want to be part of it. You would not want to be in their way. There was no love lost yesterday.
Mate, as I say, you know, when I first started watching, as I mentioned 20 years ago, hey, listen, they don't, you know, for commitment and effort and desire, you know, and enthusiasm, they don't like that. And as I say, there's plenty of skill there as well.
Oh, skill first. I mean, you know, they want to move the ball. Yeah. There's absolutely no question that the Lois stood out as being the star player, but all three that started in the Leeds front row were superb. And they rotated in the way that you would expect front rowers to rotate, but they made a real impact. But there was speed out wide. There was, I think the other thing that struck me watching, probably Mark as well, is that there were two or three players on each side that you can promote. Mm. That, you know, we're at the very beginning of Women's Rugby League, and we're still saying in the men's game, you know, who do people recognise? If we get this right, then there are some players on all teams that we can make stars out of.
Yeah.
And we should. I'd take it back to netball. When we all woke up on Sunday morning, I suspect the first thing we weren't expecting to hear was that the big story in sport was that England had won a netball gold medal against the odds in the Commonwealth Games, the most dramatic of circumstances. And you followed that on radio, television, social media. People were saying, our girls want to aspire to be like these Commonwealth Games medalists. Rugby league could be the same, Women's Rugby League. We're at the starting point of that. And if there's a plan and a strategy to roll it out, and let's hope that there is, and that there's going to be a game of as good quality as we saw at least every week in the Women's Super League, then we need to start planning now as to how we make superstars out of some of these women.
Big issue though, Phil. There's no plan. There's no marketing for the men's game in Super League, Championship One and even League One, is there? So how are they going to do it for the ladies?
Well, the one thing they can do is, I think, bring in different commercial partners.
I agree.
And I think there were some interesting companies there watching yesterday, some of whom have already tentatively on board, and others of whom are looking at this thinking, if this is sustainable,
yeah, correct,
we want to be part of this.
Like, you look at the other code, how big is the other code with the women's, you know, rugby union? How big is that gone? You know, look at the advertising, what they've got, certainly, the way that Sky promote it as well. Why can't we do that sort of thing?
Well, I think we're at the very first rung of our ladder. And you would hope that part of the plan is that it's being monitored. I know that Sky were there with a camera crew, and they'll do something on the back of it. And they had a preview to the weekend's games after Super League this weekend. So there's every potential there. I just hope there's enough players playing to keep the standard up. I hope there's some real rivalries that emerge. Which, you know, the next game that Leeds plays against Wigan. Wigan had a big win this week. You'd hope that we've got 2 weeks to promote that game. That again, it's big on social media. Somebody's going to live stream it. You'd like to think most of these games will be double headers, because I think that really worked yesterday. That people genuinely did stay on to watch the second game. And enjoyed it. And the more people that are exposed to it and enjoy it, the more word will go around that you've got to watch it.
I know there was a problem at Saints and Yota, a couple of serious injuries there, which is not great. That game was abandoned. But I'm looking in the League Express, and I'm gonna say it now, because we do use the League Express and we predominantly praise it. There's a third of a page on page three, and the headline, Women's Super League opening it by injuries. There's no report in the paper of any of the games.
Well, there is towards the back. I agree with you that that's not the headline that opened this weekend.
No, not
the headline should have been, you know, Bulls and Rhinos kick off.
Big crowd.
Great start for Women's Super League. And yes, the injuries are an issue. And I think we saw towards the end of the game yesterday that there were a lot of players taking treatment because they just weren't used to that level of rugby. But the more they play, the more we see games like yesterday, the more commercial partners become involved, the more television takes an interest in it, we have something here.
We do. I apologise for that. I didn't see that page. But we need it big. Got to promote this. Right, move
right.
on.
Right. Oh, can I just say, A, Rhianna Marshall, she's my favourite player.
Because she started the fight.
She started the fight, so that was good.
She kicks the goals, creates the tries, starts fighting. She's better than you, Scott.
I didn't see all the game. I only saw bits because I was working and shouldn't have been watching it anyway, but I enjoyed that bit. And B, it's interesting because we're bullying up... Everyone who's written an article about Leeds, York and Catalans in the Challenge Cup mentions the fact that 13,000 people watched Rochdale versus Normanton in the last round of the Challenge Cup, which I'm not necessarily sure is a number we should be saying, look at this, we've got 13,000 people watching something. 33,000 people so far have watched Bradford versus Leeds. More than watched Bradford Coventry.
Yeah.
27,000 unique viewers. Yes, they all didn't watch the whole game. Of course they didn't. That's not how the internet works. But they all watched a bit of it.
Mm.
And I think there would have been... The important thing is, they would have been impressed with what they saw. Because it was just rugby league. I think the structures that both teams played with, and again, credit to somebody like Adam Cuthbertson, it was his first game in charge of the Leeds women's team, and they looked like a really well-organised, fit team. The more people you can get involved that are high profile, that can give it the oxygen and publicity that it needs, the better. I just wish we knew that there was going to be a game every week streamed somewhere by someone so that we can look forward to the next round of fixtures.
Good stuff. Right, what's going on social media before we get stuck into the men's,
which is rubbish now. We don't care about men's rugby.
Well, Wakefield did well. Let's move on.
We watched Leeds Wigan. It was rubbish. Scott said, it seems like all Leeds home games are being played away from Headingley. Is the best way to grow the women's game not to do double headers with the men's, as just mentioned? Yes. Andy says, where possible, clubs should play academy women's and first team games on match day. Imagine those matches on a derby day. Make it a real day out. Yes, keep the people in the grounds longer. They'll buy more stuff.
Yep.
The Women's Championship also deserves a mention, says Anna. Some great clubs in Lee, Widnes, Wakefield, Barrow, Stanley, to name a few, and some great games across the weekend. I hope the Women's Championship will someday get the coverage the Women's Super League seems to be getting. Wakefield beat Hull, which is very good.
I think the great thing about the Championship is it's a testing ground for moving some of these teams into the Super League. And again, if you had an integrated plan of where you wanted the sport to go. I think to be a Super League club, you should have a women's team. You should have, which plays in a slightly different colour, but actually is instantly recognisable as the teams that you're watching. And Leeds and Bradford did that brilliantly yesterday.
Hold on, we're all playing the same kit.
I think the Leeds women's kit was great yesterday. It wasn't quite the men's kit, but it was definitely a Leeds kit. Same with Bradford.
Let me come in here, fellas. Right, you know, we're talking about here. All Super League clubs should have a women's Super League club. Hold on here. Shouldn't all Super League clubs have reserve team football before we go into everybody
well,
in should
fairness,
have a women's
no,
team?
I don't think it's either or.
The ladies don't get paid, to my knowledge. So having a club is not... Having a team is not...
So I guess, and that's why Super League clubs will take the women on board because they're not paying them. Is that right?
And physical disability.
A lot of the women's teams are run by the foundations at those clubs, as indeed are the physical disability teams. The wheelchair is something slightly separate. But my argument would be that if we are serious about what our Super League clubs should be and bring to the sport, which is something that we talk about a lot, then they should be almost mandated to have a team that the majority of the fans will go and watch, a women's team, a physical disability team, and ideally a wheelchair team, so that the club is all-inclusive in all aspects.
So you want that, then, without... So the team's not with a reserve team? No.
I just think you're not comparing
it's
like...
A different kit.
I think that's like saying...
Because it's cost. Is that what we're saying?
No, well, I think it's something different. I think the women's game stands alone.
Yeah.
And the parent Super League club in the area should be responsible for bringing as many women through as they can to an elite level to play with those colours. But I'm not sure that affects whether they run a reserve team or not. I'm just saying that you give everybody the chance to support a team that represents every bit of the community that goes and supports that team.
Right. Yeah, I'll buy into it. But the point where you're saying there, you know, every Super League club should have a women's side. Should we not be thinking that every Super League club then should have a reserve team for the quality of what we see at this moment in time? I think it's a different argument.
I just think what we saw yesterday and the revival of a rugby league derby that means so much to both clubs. You can't do it through the men at the moment.
Right.
You know, it might be another couple of years before Bradford are hopefully back in Super League and playing Leeds in front of 24,000 people at Oddsall, but you can do it with the women. And I think that helps both clubs offer more to their fans than just having a male team or if you have a reserve team playing on a Thursday. Or it widens the offer.
Well, over the next two or three years, we're certainly going to be seeing derbies between Leeds and Bradford at women level than what we are going to be doing seeing it at men's level.
And on the basis of yesterday, I think a lot of people will be looking forward to the return game at Leeds because it created the right sort of interest.
Did.
Nigel was impressed because the women can play the ball properly, which is something we don't see particularly anymore.
That's true.
He's not joking.
And here's Chris, and this is the key thing he says. Just wanted to say, after the women's Super League match between Leeds and Bradford was amazing, after watching that, I'm definitely going to be going to a few women's Super League matches. And that's the power of giving people the opportunity to watch these games for free. People go, you know, actually, I will go and play a final.
I spoke to Andrew Chalmers yesterday about the whole debating, the streaming debate. He just says, I want as many people watching my club in whatever capacity, whatever team they're watching, I want them watching my club. And if they're watching my club, then how I turn that into money is my challenge to generate more income. But he says, giving it away does not impact the attendance. You know, are less people going to go to the next Bulls women's game because it's free on the thing? Or more going to say, I'm going to go because it's quite a good laugh. The crowd, the noise, when there was an incident after about 20 minutes, Leeds got off to a great start, the noise was louder than the men's game.
Yeah,
said that,
and when Bradford scored and were starting to come back, it lifted the whole stadium.
Yeah,
I think the other thing as well is that, you know, hopefully people will not only go, but hopefully their daughters will drag them to go. That's the whole idea. We all went when we were youngsters because we were taken by parents, and then once we tasted it, we were saying to them, where's the next game and where are we going and can we go? And I think if you can imbue into the next generation of women and girls watching that, saying they want to either be there being part of it or want to join a club and see if they can play it, that's where there'll be major growth for the sport.
Yeah. Well, Proper Rugby League is brought to you by Pontefract Racecourse, of course, who hosts their third annual Rugby League evening on Monday the 11th of June. Meet the players and coaches from Castleford Tigers, Wakefield Trinity, Huddersfield Giants and Featherstone Rovers who will all be coming along. I wonder if you see any lady rugby players there. There's a great night of racing on offer. Six top quality races, including the Mr. Wolf Sprint, which commemorates one of the all-time Ponty greats. Bring your season ticket along, get grandstand and paddock entry to Pontefract's Rugby League evening for just a fiver. All with VIP tickets at £42 for adults, £10 for children. The perfect chance to get up close to your Rugby League favourites. For more details or to book your tickets, visit pontefract-races.co.uk. We are there. It's a great night. It really is a great night. If you want to go and have pictures taken with your heroes, have a bit of a laugh with them, find out what their tipping skills are like, then get yourself along. Rich, what's happening?
Well, it's just nice. We started the programme quite positively, which is a nice thing. So I'm going to keep on that and not talk about Leeds and Wigan yet, because we'll do that later.
Okay.
So more positive. And we'll talk about Salford, who are great because they beat Huddersfield. John, Robert Louis is a genius. Big shout out for Junior Sow. Peter says, Salford in 8th spot after an impressive win. Also, Louis again getting man of the match. Who will link up with him? As Jack Little John is not good enough. Oh, it's got to negativity already. Any news on any incoming players? And who out there available does the legend think can perform a partnership with Rob? He also mentions the Salford shirt for Magic Weekend, which has got plenty of attention over the last week. It has, very bright yellow.
Well, I guess if they're looking for a scrum half, there's one down the road, isn't there, who's not playing, and that's Matty Smith. If it to take the pressure off... at Robert Lewin there from there. So, yeah, so Martin Smith would bring, you know, not just the organisation, but I say taking away the pressure from the tactical kicking prowess from there. So, and not, I've not seen too much of Little John, to be honest with you, to make a comment about him. I'm not, well, I've seen him maybe once or twice. No, I've not been too impressed on there, but as people keep saying, well, he needs a bit of time. But if they want somebody to help Louis out from there, then Matty Smith, who's down the road at St Helens.
Yeah, possibly.
I think they'll be getting Matty Russell in if it all goes through. Salford are hopeful of registering him sooner rather than later. Now,
I find that a strange signing, actually. I do, Matty Russell. I don't know why they bring to Salford.
Mm. I don't. Well, clearly Warrington want Ridd, don't they?
Well, they want Ridd, but what does Salford want to take him on, Matt? Because he's so inconsistent. I think they need
speed out of dummy half, and he can play full-back, and they've lost Gareth O'Brien.
How many times does he lose a ball when he comes out of dummy half?
I think he'd do him a good job.
Not convinced.
Scotland international.
He's got a great try against England at Coventry. Peter says he feels sorry for Little John. To step into Dobson's shoes is an impossible task.
Hmm.
I guess the flip side of this, great win for Salford. It should be a fascinating game on Friday.
It should be live, actually. Yeah, we're doing worky Salford worky live on Proper Sport.
Well, it gets worse for Huddersfield. Not that Lee Gaskell's not been banned, that's harsh. But Danny Brough has received a grade D match official abuse. Refer to tribunal. Not pass go. Do not collect £200.
Mm. Well, does that mean a grade D then? Is it? What's he looking at between what, 2 and 4? Is it? Is that a bad one?
No, I think it's at least 3. I think.
Is it?
Right. It's not his first offence. I'm going to ask the question. I put it out on Twitter yesterday. I put it out there. I'm sick of it. Why have Huddersfield re-signed Danny Brough? Why? Can someone give me a reason why they've re-signed him? He'll be on top dollar, and he don't win him any games. Now you can say, well, one man don't make a team, but. I don't know. Sam Tompkins won the game for Wigan the other night.
They clearly think so. They're Huddersfield.
Well, when you say they, presumably not the coach that's coming in, because he's not been party to that.
Well, all right then. We'll put it down to one man. Obviously, Richard Fewless thinks Danny Brough has still got plenty to offer, where he can take Huddersfield in the top 8. He can maybe take Huddersfield in the top 4. But unfortunately, you know, for the last 5 years, was that 5 years since he won the League Leaders Shield? Since then, Brough has brought nothing.
I can't understand why, when they clearly were going to get rid of Rick Stone, let's be fair, they obviously weren't going to renew his contract. They chucked him under a bus early in the year when he got asked. He said, I don't know what's happening. He was clear from, they might as well have walked out that day.
Done a Mick McCarthy.
Yeah, he said, stuff this, I'm off. But then he probably wasn't paying out, so he waited. I get that. But why as a club, do you then restrict your new coach coming in by saying, well, actually, we've got him for another 18 months or another year now on top. But you can't play this because he's banned, because he shouts at referees a lot. I just don't get it.
What happens in the next 3 or 4? Let's say he's banned for 3 weeks. Might be longer because, as you say, he hasn't got a great track record when it comes to dissent with referees. What happens if they find a combination when he's not there? Well, and the new coach comes in, or Chris Thorman is appointed as the full-time coach, and they say, right, well, as far as we're concerned, we've shown we can play without him. He doesn't figure.
Well, I would imagine Chris Thorman would be hoping, as I've mentioned, it wasn't last week, it was a week before, how bad a rugby league player Gaskell has come, you know, so, but hopefully, because Thorman himself's an ex-half-back, he wasn't a bad player, was it, Chris? You know, so hopefully he can you know, get the best out of Gaskell from there, because the talent's there for Gaskell, if he's allowed to play how he wants to play, and say that combination with Rankin. So I would imagine Foreman's keeping his fingers crossed that these two can strike up that combination, whether Brough is going to be out between, 3 and 6 weeks maybe from there, strike up that combination where he has no choice to say to Brough, hey, listen, I'm not dropping these guys, they're doing the right job for me, but unfortunately...
What's that going to do? If he's not getting picked, what's that going to do? Let's call a spade, right? He's obviously an issue when he's not playing. I just think the club, I'm going to say it now, right, I think the Huddersfield Giants next season will be in the Championship.
I think that was a really significant win for Salford, but it was an extremely disappointing one for Huddersfield. Mm. I mean, they now have to go to St Helens, who are on the rebound having lost, which is not the fixture you would have picked. But there's a tiny bit of daylight now between Huddersfield and Salford. You know, they've got to win at least 2 games to get above them. I don't understand why you would re-sign a star player before you've decided who your coach is.
Really?
You're the player who is the most influential.
Danny Brough last win
five years ago?
When did it?
Five years ago.
But are you already undermining your next coaching appointment by signing him first?
Yes, that's my point.
That's the thing.
The club are doing things the wrong way around, right? And it might be the new guy comes in, but he did for Paul Anderson. Let's just call a spade a spade. He fell out with him over the captaincy.
Yeah.
And Anderson's gone and he's still there.
But we can
Rick Stone's gone, he's still there.
We can remember that performance. Can you remember at Castleford?
Yeah.
Remember at Castleford?
Yes.
How many passes
did
he throw to the ground from a point of view where, we can win this game, but not with some of these passes, we're not. We was there, we witnessed it, and that was as, you know, the pair of them fell out from there. But yeah, it's 5 years since Brophy has made any impression on that giant
side. I've got to be honest.
On that giant side.
I worry about the Huddersfield Giants. I think they are going.
So you reckon they'll get relegated? As bad as what Catalans are?
Two could quite easily go from Super League.
Yeah, easily. Yeah, yeah, without a doubt. But I say Salford, well done at Salford. Let's give them a bit of praise. And I say
it's a big win.
We all like how Ian Watson plays, and the players just respond to him. We all know the adversity, what they've had. Yeah, well done to Salford. But yeah, Huddersfield, they're in absolute mess. Is there any noises coming out who's going to be the coach? Foreman going to be appointed? Well, again, that from a player's point of view, they're just thinking, well, it doesn't really matter because we're not trying to impress anybody.
They're sleepwalking into the championship. Yeah, it needs sorting out.
We'll just go through the motions, and that's exactly what the Huddersfield Giants players are doing, going through the motions.
You know, and Chris Foreman's had to come out and say he's had to lay to the players verbally to get a performance out of them. What does that say about the players? What does that say about those players?
I also think the shame is, and I wasn't at the game, preface that absolutely, that Chris Thorman came out and criticised the referee again at this time in where they are in the league. You don't need a blame culture.
3 points from safety.
Yeah,
3 points from safety. That's where they're at. They go to St Helens this week. Good luck with that.
Well, the comments, what he was saying, and I say in the League Express Thorman, it's just a total sign of desperation, and he's not getting the response from his players. His major player is going to be out for 3 to 6 weeks, whether we agree with it or not. Yeah, they still think that Brophy is their major player. There's nothing coming from it, as we totally agree, and we have done for many, many a times now. But would be for sure, it's desperation from Foreman, and certainly by criticising officials. He wants to have a look at his players when he's not getting the response. The players at this moment in time, they couldn't care less who they're playing for, because they aren't playing for anybody. And would be for sure, they ain't playing for that shirt, they ain't playing for Ken Davey. They're being very, very selfish.
And again,
Giants players.
One of the issues, again, you'd have to put back to the management at the club, is that the fact that their squad isn't deep enough, which means if you don't play brilliantly week on week, the chances are you're still going to retain your spot. There's not a lot Chris Thorman or the next coach coming in can do to change it. The players that they've got are virtually all they've got. I think Salford deserve credit for the fact that had they lost that game, they would have been in a difficult situation. But from seeing the highlights of the tries, which is all you get to see online, they played some lovely rugby. There's a try that Jake Bibby scored that goes through about 16 pairs of hands with a beautiful flick pass at the end from Wella Hierarchy, and that's not being inhibited by the position that you're in the league. That's believing in what you can do and still playing to your strengths. And some of their players, you can see, are getting better week on week. Ben Nakubawai, or however it should be pronounced according to Eddie Hemmings, I think he's starting to look like a Ben Murdoch-Masilla type player. And you can see players are improving in that Salford environment, even though they haven't got a lot of players playing within the total squad. Huddersfield are the complete reverse.
Go on.
I'm going to say, Steve says Danny Brough was in the Dream Team in 2015. Right, so 2015 then. Any advance on that? We're in 2018 now. And he signed for 2019.
Well, I'll tell you, if he got in the Dream Team in 2015, what I'll say is there must have been some very, very ordinary halfbacks playing there. There you go. I'll answer that. Must have been some ordinary halfbacks playing in that season.
The only thing I would say in Danny Brough's defence is that his performances for Scotland, until he let them down in the current
Fairly
World
got
Cup,
sent home in disgrace.
Which may be behind You know, that's an issue that Huddersfield should have taken into account.
When I was at the World Cup in 2008, he didn't play well in 2008 neither.
I think he has been a linchpin for Scottish Rugby League. I think the attitude he's shown...
Well, if Scotland want to employ him, then that's good
yeah.
to them.
All I'm saying is, yeah, at club level,
Phil was sent home with disgrace. But in the last World Cup, and they had a chance of qualifying for the quarterfinals.
In the 2013 World Cup.
And if he'd have played, they would have done, because everybody had kicked the drop goal.
Him making himself available for things like European Championships have helped develop Scottish Rugby League.
Well done, Danny Brough, for that.
So, we'll say that in his defence.
No, well, I don't see what a defence is.
No.
The defence rests.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, yeah. What are you defending? You're not, you know.
I'm saying that maybe in an environment where he's allowed to flourish, he can bring something to the party.
Right, okay. But as Gary said, he got sent home in disgrace.
Yeah, yeah.
Got sent off in disgrace at the weekend. There's a bit of a common theme coming here.
Yeah.
Has he apologised for that? The Scotland.
I don't know. Move on. He's had enough time. Look, it's nothing against him personally. I'm talking from a club point of view. I do not get the deal.
And as a rugby league player.
Yeah, I don't get the deal. I don't see what's in it for Huddersfield.
You can't blame Huddersfield management for Huddersfield's demise, says Liam. Blame their fans.
Why?
Crowds are poor and never improve despite success on the field. Season tickets at £99. They are not Super League standard.
It's irrelevant, Liam. It's irrelevant. That ain't the problem. Ken Davies propping the club up. Don't matter how many fans they've got. They spend the cap to our... At least we believe they do. Mm. Ken Davies underwrites that.
Is the management of the club not responsible for getting more fans in? We're talking about a club that made two Challenge Cup finals, that made the playoffs on a regular basis, you know, but hasn't improved their crowd base. Now, that's not the fans. Is that not the marketing of the club?
They don't. Even I think even to this day, they're still chanting Fartown, Fartown, Fartown. They just don't like where they play. They just don't like the environment they're in.
But here's the thing. When were Huddersfield getting 10,000, 15,000 mythical people? They haven't for years.
It's going to be interesting as well, Phil, with the future of Huddersfield Giants, given that Huddersfield Town we think they've secured another year in the Super League. I'm just wondering what the future of the Giants actually is.
I think we were talking about this briefly yesterday at the Bradford game. It changes the dynamic because I believe that if Huddersfield Town do stay up, it guarantees them big funds for the next 3 years, irrespective of which division they're in. And I think the split at the moment between the parties that own the John Smith's facility is part Giants, part football, part council. But I think if... the Huddersfield Town know that they've got £130 million a year guaranteed coming in. They will buy the council share, and I think the council will readily sell it to them, the state that local government is in at the moment. I think if they then become the majority shareholding, and it's safe to say that Dean Hoyle does not like rugby league. He doesn't like Huddersfield Town's games being moved in the past where they weren't a premiership team and the Giants were the senior partners on the field. I think that he would look to engineer the Giants moving out of the John Smith Stadium and where they go in the city of Huddersfield, I have absolutely no idea.
Well, one day Huddersfield Town will be like Hull City and be the be rubbish again.
Aye. My dad's told me to calm down, so we better start talking about something else.
Well, Jamie says he thinks the Giants need to go down like Hulkington Rovers did and get rid of the money grabbers.
You know what? That's not a bad... I know it's the worst case scenario, but it might help them get out of some contracts.
On Chris Storm and criticising referees, when are the RFL going to really clamp down on this? Because I'm sick now of seeing, oh, it's the ref's fault. And you know why the fans do it? Because the coaches do it and the players do it. Pip says, what is your panel's view of the creeping haranguing? Is this Rod Studd's assumed name? Creeping? Of the officials by players, evident in Leeds versus Wigan. And also by Percival in the Wakey game. He did get a yellow. And Percival, but Failer too easily allowed it to happen. Could be a very slippery slope. We've gone down the slope. The slope's there. We've gone.
The slope actually begins at Junior Rugby League.
It does.
Go to any ground on a Saturday morning and hear how the crowd react to a referee. Some referees who can be as young as 13 or 14 years old, that's where it begins. We as fans have to take responsibility. You know, I was watching the Bradford-Coventry game. Bradford were always going to win that game. Impressed with Coventry that looked like a rugby league team. They had a good structure to them. They had some lads there that could certainly play. But they're inexperienced compared to the team they're up against. Bradford were 30 points odd up. And fans are still complaining at the performance of the referee. Just enjoy the game. You've won it. There's no need to be berated him for the opposition standing offside or he might have missed a forward pass. Just watch the game. Forget the official.
Totally agree. Sick of it. You know, we're getting play acting coming in now in rugby league. It's embarrassing. You get a player drives a ball and it takes four blokes all their strength to knock him over. Mm. And he gets up at the play of the ball, someone touches him with one finger, he falls over like he's been shot.
Do you know
what's that all about?
Do you know what's creeping in as well? Holding the ball at the back of the scrum.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen it a couple of times in that League One. Holding the ball at the back of the scrum. It's cheating.
Should be a penalty the way on sportsmen like conduct.
It is. It's cheating.
Yeah.
It's cheating.
I want to say, by the way, because before I forget, I watched some more junior rugby yesterday. I still don't understand the rules because there don't appear to be any. York Acorn, apparently it's their first game at under sevens level. Brilliant. Really good at tackling. They had a couple of girls playing for them as well. Never let up for the full however long they play for because it's not 80 minutes. But well done, York Acorn.
Well done.
My nephew only scored four. It might have been five. You can't remember. So.
Have you had a word with Mr. Carter?
Oh, yeah. That's where the talent went.
I'm trying to learn how to become an agent. I'm going to sign them all up. If I get one of them successful, that'll be a good strike rate. The rest of it, I'll discard them, you know, like race horses or something. If I can make some money.
Come with your Uncle Richard. Yeah. He'll look after you.
Got some contracts. Yeah. Stephen says, enough of Huddersfield. What does the panel think of the form of Griffin at Hull? Can he be an England international?
We were there.
Yeah. It's his best performance. I've seen him in a black and white jersey, hitting that consistency. He's getting the ball nice and early, standing that little bit deeper and causing all sorts of problems for defensive. Pick for England? Well, not a chance with Wayne Bennett, will he? Because he didn't pick the best sentence moment in time on scoring tries for fun in Percival. So, but on form, if anything did happen to Watkins or Percival or John Bateman, you know, because he's the England centre at this moment.
And Wigan centre.
He wouldn't look out of place in an England jersey.
Be interesting to see how he goes up against Watkins this week. That'll be a test. Because I thought he was outstanding on a Thursday night. But Widnes are struggling to get people out there in the centres who match him. This week, we'll see how he goes.
I thought Griffin's played well the last 3 weeks for me. Yeah. And I've watched the last three games in person, so I'm looking forward to seeing
But the big thing for it, Mark, is because he's getting the ball nice and early. Mm. You know, so he's giving himself a bit of space there. He's got some nice footwork.
Who's giving him it early?
Well, I don't know if it's Albert Kelly or Mark's name, but whether he's calling for the ball a bit earlier, Phil, to be honest with you, from there. But yeah, he's got some nice footwork. He's certainly got a big see you later with the handoff from there. So, yeah, he's in good form. And I say, if anything happened to the three major players from there in Percival, Watkins, and as was mentioned, John Bateman, as the England centre at this moment in time, then he wouldn't look out of place.
Oh, Rich is getting abused on social media now. This is good.
My Mickey says I wouldn't make a news agent, never mind a player agent. That's a bit harsh. Have you seen some of the people that do that job?
A bad return to serve, to be fair.
John says if Griffin can make it, what about Matty Ashurst? Well, the biggest buller uppers of Matty Ashurst on this programme, John. We've been saying it for ages.
Any news of where the Knights are playing yet?
Oh, come on.
Any news where the Knights are playing? the lads have had the suitcases packed for the last 5 weeks since the squad got announced. Do they know where they're going yet?
Do you see? Because of course, rugby league at the forefront of all the innovations in sport that we nick from America and just claim as ours, and then are stolen by rugby union shamelessly. And well done to Bristol, who on promotion to the Premiership have renamed themselves the Bristol Bears. Because he worked for Oldham.
Works for Coventry.
Well, I'll tell you, because I've said in my column today regarding the Knights, if they're not going to the South Sea Island and play Papua New Guinea or Fiji or Tonga or Samoa, complete waste of time, because it ain't going to do them any good whatsoever playing against the European side because of the same standard of what they're getting in Super League. It'll be an absolute waste of time. It will.
I think that will happen. I think we've just got to be patient.
Patient?
Yeah.
Jamie says you should play the Exiles, the Knights.
Possibly.
But then we can see if there's any decent players on the Exiles we can nick for England like we did last time.
Yeah.
Go on, Roger.
Roger.
Mary on referees.
That worked, did it? That worked.
Mary on referees says she was at the Cantland Tigers game. The referee was even-handed and kept a free-flowing game. Well done. I guess it's easy when it's all going one way, but there you go.
I think, I don't know how many games are. What are we, 11 weeks in? I've probably watched 25 live games so far. And I haven't... I haven't come away thinking that ref's had a shocker. There's a couple of instances you think, well, you've got that, you know, you've got that wrong. I think we had one in our game on Friday night, but that, no, I just, you know, I just don't see. I don't see what good it does.
And the thing about Friday night is the issue wasn't the referee who might have missed an incident. It was the fact that players on both sides couldn't keep hold of the ball.
Yeah.
If he made one mistake, I guarantee virtually every player made more than that.
Yeah, correct.
And that was all the Rhino Bowl's fault anyway. Because that's what John Bateman said on.
Well, it is, but I have to say, I watched the NRL at the weekend, and Canberra played in the old chucking down rain, and they sort of keep hold of the ball well. They didn't really know what to do with it when they had it, but they didn't drop it as much, so I don't know, maybe something in there.
Poor excuse.
You don't technically know, though, because you haven't played with the new ball, so you can't say, can you?
Yeah, but I've felt it loads of times, whatever, so.
What, running it on?
There's no reason to be dropping it. Rubbish, making excuses. Full-time professionals dropping rubber balls. If you don't want to give it to the opposition, they'll take it off you.
I'll tell you what was frightening about the game at Headingley on Friday was the inability to pass the ball from like the scrum, from a player the ball. There were about three or four instances where the pass wasn't strong enough to get to the bloke they were passing it to.
First tackle,
honestly.
Well, I guess sometimes they're trying with this the so-called soft hands. Hold on, soft hands. Get the ball in the breadbasket. Simple as that. Get the ball to the breadbasket as quick as possible instead of this soft hands. Eh?
See, some of these kids yesterday could even pass it left and right.
Wow.
So even better than some current internationals. Yeah, I know.
Scenes.
John says, some fans start screaming at the referee at the first tackle. It's becoming boring, as Phil says, just watch the game. Roy on Ball News says, imagine if they played with the old smooth mitre ball. You're a big fan of the mitre ball.
Huge fan of the mitre ball. I tell you what, what about the conditions we played in as well? We played William Rugby them days. We never dropped it. I tell you what.
Well, very occasionally.
Let me just say this.
I can remember a couple.
Hey, listen, let me tell you this. If you dropped it twice in the game, you got the big hook. You got the big hook getting that A-team on Thursday night. That's what happened in our day. Don't worry about that.
We're thinking about introducing an A-team on this show. Just be warned.
Who's B.A. Barakasan? I'll bring my jewellery in.
We'll just bring in a women's team instead. We're not going to bring in reserves. Scott says, very impressed with Castleford's win on Sunday. Do they need to step up another gear to beat the rest of the top four contenders? Wigan.
Hey, that's the second time now the Catalans haven't scored a point. They've gone zero. Warrington and Castleford yesterday. Has that happened before in Super League, where one team has not scored any points in two games? Has that happened?
I'm guessing it hasn't happened within 11 games. It might have happened within a season.
Has it happened, has it? I don't think it has. A side's done that, to be honest with you, filling the season.
But where do Castellan go from here? Oh, I mean, they've got the banana skin this week, going to York in the Challenge Cup.
York will beat them this week, Mr. Kaplan. You mark my words.
I mean, if they do, and there's no reason to think that they can't, then surely that has to be the straw that breaks the camel's back. But again, watching the highlights of the Castleford game, and fantastic for Castleford that they put in the kind of performance that Darryl Powell has been asking for. They were back to their ruthless best. But the majority of the tries conceded came from kicks. And it's almost as if the Catalan defensive line aren't even talking to each other when a ball's hoisted up there. That's some major work that needs doing there.
But again, Phil, I keep mentioning it all the time. It doesn't matter if it's McNamara at Catalans or any coach, the players have got to take responsibility for the performance. Unless he's lost the dressing room.
Unless the message is not getting through anymore.
If he's lost the dressing room, it's like they say when Maurice Bamford got the sack by the senior players, the way that he abused Johnny Lyons after the Challenge Cup tie at Keighley. You know, Maurice, from that point of view, had lost the dressing room, so the senior players, when the chairman came to us and found out about this incident, they said, right, okay, then I'm going to ask you the question, the senior players, do you want me to sack him? And we said yes, and he did that. So if he's lost the dressing room, it's the senior player's responsibility and say, listen, Bernard Gouache, go to Bernard and say, listen, it's not working, we don't want to play for him, get rid of him. The players have got to do that.
Bernard's just done a really interesting long interview with L'Indépendant, which is the local, it's the Yorkshire Evening Post of the Perpignan area, saying that he thinks they are a solid group. So he's not hinting that there's any loss of faith in the dressing room. But it would also appear that he's going to be proposing that Super League be 14 teams. Now, I suspect that he's taking that position at the moment because he can see that if it isn't, his team might not be in it.
Lowest scorers second worst defence, bottom of the table.
League table doesn't tell lies.
As Scully keeps saying, on paper, a team that is much better than that. So the issue that the players aren't playing, or the players don't have the trust of the coach anymore?
You mentioned that word, players trusting the coach. I'll refine that. The players don't want to play for McNamara anymore, then. Simple as that.
Okay.
Bring back Laurent Fresneau. Now he's been
spotted.
Yeah, the lesser spotted Laurent Fresneau.
If the second most exciting thing is the first half.
Is he coming on the coaching staff at Leeds? Is he going?
I think he just asked if he could stay involved in the game and come and spend a little bit of time with Brian McDermott and his staff. And
well, there's loads of ex-players who want to stay involved in the game, but they don't get an opportunity.
Well,
let's talk then. So, Kat, right, okay, at the bottom four, Widnes, desperate injury wise. OKR,
yeah,
same.
Poor recruitment, desperate injury wise. Mm. Huddersfield, poor recruitment, rubbish. Catalans. Rubbish.
That's the bottom four. That's how the bottom four
Which
will finish.
Which of those should be most worried at this stage?
Oh, in the £1 million game?
Well, no, they might not even get in the £1 million game. You might not even get that far.
Well, you got to say Huddersfield and Catalans. Well, throw them all in.
And Widnes, if they turned up today in the playoffs, then they've got problems.
If the senior players come back from there, and as we know, I would imagine Widnes would survive that. But certainly, the three sides in Hull KR have just lost one of their big players now in Sean Lump. We don't know how long he's going for. Maguire's not hitting the straps as we all thought. Well, certainly I thought as well, because he hasn't got the quality of players around him from there.
Again,
listening
to the game on Saturday, I don't think there's a lot more he could have done. He was involved, and certainly in the revival just after half time.
He got him over the line the week before against Widnes.
I think he's doing all the donkey stuff rather than being on the end of things.
Yeah, well, he should be doing the donkey stuff then, should he?
But I don't think you can blame him for them being in the position that they're in.
But what I'm saying is, he hasn't got the players around him to take over a bit of responsibility, to win the games.
Can't play in a dinner jacket at Hull KR. He's got to get his hands mucked.
Oh, mate, I know that. That was always going to be very hard for him. And he's not getting, young Atkin, who Swinton or Rochdale the signing from there. He's not stepping up to the mark because of the lack of experience. So, yeah, it's pretty tough. But yeah, them bottom three sides, as you mentioned. Well, even the four of them, if they could be quite easy. Two out of the four could be the £1 million game because of where Toronto are going. They're signing quality players from there. Featherstone, I'll tell you what, they're hitting the straps.
Point off
top. Featherstone are hitting the traps. So it's worrying times. It's worrying time for the bottom four. That will be the bottom four. How it finishes, we don't really know. But Salford, they'll survive and they'll be the top eight.
The concern for the teams in the bottom four is apparently they're all going to sign Matty Smith. Jamie says, hopefully he comes to KR to cover Sean Lunt, who's out for 3 months.
Bernard Gwash in that interview said again that Catalan had inquired about him. They were waiting to hear from St Helens.
Wayne says, on loan to Huddersfield, please. Alan says, Matty Smith to Widnes.
Are you sure that Jamie, Wayne and Alan are all Saints fans?
Hey, Rich, if you haven't got an agent, I'll get you.
You've got a stable already.
You have.
What I've said, Ellis said, though, are you allowing him to go, or is it just a matter of Matty Smith?
I think the Roby thing's probably. Yeah. I think he was.
How long is he out for Roby? 6 weeks?
I don't know.
Rib cartilage, it will be 6 weeks.
Huh? They've not said.
It will be.
Do we want to talk about the Leeds Wigan game?
I think we should. Yeah. I think we should. Are we going to do it now?
Andy says, what a boring match at Leeds versus Wigan. Too much laying on at the tackles. Matt says, Moyle played well but choked at the vital moment.
Oh, I had the draw, 25-1.
Tompkins spewing.
Why did he go early?
Why did he kick a drop goal with 50 seconds left? Especially when Wigan was swinging, weren't they? Yeah. There was a penalty coming.
There was two more plays, either a penalty, either a try, or take your drop goal with the last...
Second or third or something, did he?
Second tackle.
And how far were he out?
Oh,
he was 20 yards out and he was 20 yards wide.
Well,
awful.
Oh, 20 yards wide?
Yeah,
I thought it was in front.
No, it was 20 yards out, straight in front of the post. Yeah. He missed by 20 yards.
Oh, he missed by 20. Well, to be honest with you, if he's going on the second tackle, I wouldn't have an issue with that. Because they wouldn't have been expecting the second tackle or first tackle.
They were a man in his face.
Yeah, Bateman was
going to get him. So the kick wasn't on.
Well, do you know what? He made it, from my experience, he made it look too obvious then. If I'd have been playing that game, just say for it to be on Mucker, Maskey, it'd have been Hooker. I'd be saying, Maskey, I'm going on the fourth. So you take him where you want to take, just look where I am. And he would have just kept everybody guessing. So what he's done, he's gone far too, he's not just gone far too early, but he's just glared that he's going for the drop kick, and that's what's happened then. Mm. It is.
Tompkins' ban average, says Matt, but when it mattered, delivered. Is
one
that the difference?
I think he summed up the Wigan performance that early on.
He was getting jeered, wasn't he?
And he wasn't playing well, you know. He couldn't hold the ball, his passing wasn't great, but when they needed him for 7 minutes, he was unplayable.
Well, I think it sent out a message to everybody, hasn't it? Certainly the 30-minute performance against Catalans the week before, getting absolutely hammered. The character and that never say die attitude, what Wayne's got with them Wigan players, and they buy into everything what he says. And when you looked at Leeds, obviously I wasn't there on Friday, but what I've been hearing is that when you look at it, Leeds have always found a way to win. It's been a scenario on Friday they maybe found a way to lose that game, but take nothing, but take nothing from away from Wigan, the character what they showed. And all right, Tompkins drop kick 40 yards out near the sideline, say, well, nobody expected it. Always expect the unexpected. Always.
Oh, it was a fantastic kick.
Because we're champion players, it can happen like that, can't it?
What about then? I want to talk, because a lot of people to me said Leeds were tired at the end, that's why they lost. Ran out of steam. I've got to ask about his subs, Brian McDermott. Anthony Mullally, one of Leeds' best in this season.
Got no more than 10 minutes in the second half.
Cameron Smith, Mikel Ilecki, limited game time. I don't know. I just thought Wigan outpowered him at the end. I thought Wigan thoroughly deserved to win.
The only contentious moment, and you picked it in commentary, was Ash Handley's broken nose.
Yeah.
Because that could have made a difference. I mean, the big thing, I think, for Leeds was Myler dropping the ball at the beginning of the second half, because had they gone 12-0 up, line was open. I'm not sure Wigan would have come back from that. I think it wasn't that sort of a game where if you get two scores ahead in whatever the conditions were, greasy conditions. Both coaches said conditions were difficult. So I think if you'd gone 12-0 up, that probably would have signalled it. But Handley collided with Sean O'Loughlin.
Yeah, he got caught.
Did the right thing in that he tried to play on.
Yeah, should have gone down, got treatment, then he got a penalty.
And the likelihood is, in the position it was on the field, probably would have kicked it.
Yeah, exactly. It's another rule.
So again, is this not another issue that, you know, players that do the right thing, that get up and try and keep playing the game, ultimately get penalised?
Yeah, exactly. Play acting. You're better off play acting. You think you've been touched on the head. And the problem is now, when you are touched on it, there's only the week, like for Ablett, whenever it was, it literally laid stroked the face of the guy. But because it was contact with the head, it's a penalty. Handley got his nose smashed to bits. No question.
Which you'd think might have been a high tackle.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he got up and did the right thing in the spirit of the game.
Yeah, the spirit of the game.
That's what Rugby League's all about, isn't it?
Well, it ain't no, is it now? That's the problem.
Rugby League is not all about fear and injury.
And as is pointed out in various places, including Martin Sadler's column in the League Express, it also depends whether you're on television or not. You've got more of a chance of getting a penalty if you lay down and you're on television.
Last week, it's sneaking into our game. You think you've been eye tackled or whatever, you stay down, the video ref looks at it and he'll change the decision. We've seen it all the time now. Yeah, we've seen it all the time. And it's just the game has to cut this out.
And the good thing that Sean Wayne did last week was said if any of his players were caught doing that, he would immediately hook them.
Ben Thaler saw it, didn't see out in it. Fine, he's made a mistake. We crack on. As long as he makes that consistently. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know?
He's south of the river. Leeds lost because Myler kept kicking to touch. The greatest ever example of this was the legend himself, kicking a touch versus the Kangaroos with only seconds to go at Old Trafford. From the scrum, Stuart went 70 and Meninga scored. Do you remember this legend?
Do me a favour. That game was literally, that game was won. Do me a favour.
The lasses are off.
The Aussies knew they were defeated, and I tell this story loads of times. If you could have put your mortgage on one player, never ever taking a dummy, it's Lee Jackson. What does Lee Jackson go and do? Ricky Stewart. All right, so we tackle him, it was over. We'd have won the Ashes on the countback with the scoreboard. The beat is here, but we hammered him in the first test. So, no, I'm not buying into that one little bit. A player who never, ever took a dummy, took the dummy the first time in his career. Ricky Stewart went there. By the way, that would have been a try in today's game anyway. Malmoning pushing everybody about like
He threw Cal Gibson into the stand.
You know, like a pinball machine. So who sent that tweet in?
South of the river.
Load of rubbish south of the river. Load of absolute tosh.
But he is right about Leeds became extremely conservative and introverted and were trying not to lose the game by kicking the ball into touch rather than winning it.
But that's not normally Leeds' philosophy,
no,
is it?
No, absolutely, which is why mental fatigue rather than physical may have been an issue behind it. But then we get back to the Easter programme and it's a broken record.
I think that's a poor excuse, Phil. I thought they got beaten because they were the worst team on the night. Personally.
What about John Bateman being dumped on his head? I can't remember that.
No, I don't remember that.
I remember...
Thought Bateman's stats were just ridiculous.
He played well again, by all accounts. Bateman's not being told, yeah.
Absolutely magnificent.
Signing a new deal at Wigan, my sources tell me.
The shiny one, is he?
Mm. He even got a goal line dropout from a kick. There's nothing he can't do. Although he did try a chip over, which probably wasn't the wisest.
Oh, he's a freak. He's an absolute freak of a player. He is. He's an absolute freak.
He is.
Sources close to this programme say. Tim says Leeds United also kicked off at 7:45 at Aston Villa, but their 90-minute football game finished 8 minutes before our 80-minute rugby game. I know.
Leeds Rhinos didn't kick off at 7:45. It's becoming a bugbear now. Every week. Same at Widnes, wasn't it? Doesn't happen. Don's mentioned this morning about Hanley getting injured. That wasn't a dig at Wigan. It was more a dig at the game in that players, if you get high tackle, stay down, you get a penalty. If you don't, you don't get one. It's more a dig at the officiating rather than an anti-Wigan thing.
I just
said I thought Wigan deserved to win, so I'm certainly not
I genuinely
mourning.
Can't remember John Bateman being...
I can't.
If he was tackled on his head, why didn't he go for a HIA?
I don't know.
But I can't remember it. And I was stood up for the whole game watching.
Yes. How did you find the press box?
It's a joke, isn't it? I was messing up.
Rich couldn't even sit.
Fine for me. I don't have a problem.
I've got to give you some...
Fine for me as well, Rich. You just need to lose a touch.
Oh, I know.
Fine for me.
To our media colleagues, who may be a similar size to
myself. I was selling Chris Price on the other day. Chris Price
won't fit in, Chris,
don't bother.
Chris has no chance.
It's barbaric, isn't it? It is barbaric, that.
Also...
Horrible.
Yeah, I managed to get in.
But once you're in, you're in.
You mean you snap the desk?
If it's raining, don't sit on the front row either, because when the ball hits the roof, it all comes down.
Yeah.
That's quite funny, actually, man. Especially because I'm a Rhinos fan.
Oh, Richard, come on.
There was someone next to me in the south stand, had Leeds United on his phone and spent the entire game staring at that and rabbiting on about it, says Martin. Well, at least he gave his money to Leeds.
Yes. Yeah, went and turned up.
It was a dangerous lift, 3 in the tackle, 3 Leeds got penalised, says Andy. I can't remember this happening.
Is there anything...
He can't have got dropped on his head.
Is there anything in the disciplinary about it?
So
again, the match review panel have looked at the game and presumably not seen it.
I tell you what, one thing with John Bateman, he won't go down and fake it. He didn't want to go off. One thing for sure, he won't cheat. Not a chance.
Interesting, selected in the centre, though, was Sargenton on the bench and then moved into the pack, which seemed to work.
I'll tell you why Bateman's been picking in the centre for Wigan, because Sargenton is playing rubbish. Simple as
but they left Escurry
out.
Which was interesting.
That Bateman's an international centre because he's not, because he can't pass the ball.
More analysis in the World Cup final. Yeah.
More analysis like this on the Super League show tonight. Punter says, Mark, you cannot be shocked with B-Mac's pathetic use of the bench. Regularly leaves the play with 0 minutes. He even did it at Widnes this year, which was the first game after the World Cup Challenge.
I'll tell you what as well. Another player who's getting loaned out to Widnes, Jimmy Kynost.
Oh, yeah.
And I was speaking to Phil before we came on air, fellas, and I said, you know, with Kynost, for me, he's a 7 out of 10 every week that he plays for Leeds. He should be in the 17 week in and week out. Whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, but I just feel as though sometimes coaches get a feel for the player, sometimes coaches don't get a feel for the player, and I know Hadley's playing well and deserves to stay there, but I feel as though Kynos is a far better player, offers a lot more than what Sutcliffe does at this moment in time. But I just feel as though Kynos, if he scored 6 tries a week and he kicked 15 goals and he made 96 tackles, he still wouldn't get picked by Matt Dermott. But I'm very surprised to let him go. All right, they said that he needs game time, so he's going out there for a month. But I like Kynos and I'm surprised to let him go in the first place.
Yeah. I just think
he's been really unfortunate in that the time that he's been injured and out, the two players who have probably improved more than any other, both playing the positions he would play, and one's Handley that all the supporters that follow Leeds are now saying has to be in every week, and the other is Josh Walters, who wasn't selected on Friday night, but the previous two games have been the man of the match. So this is the idea of a salary cap. You can't keep everybody. Somebody has to go. Liam Sutcliffe will be on a bigger contract than Jimmy Kinehorst, so I suspect that he's the longer term option. But Kinehorst will do a brilliant job at Widnes. There's no problem with him and Brian McDermott. I think 2016, Jimmy Kinehorst was by far the best player Leeds had in a very difficult season, and as you say, every week gave them everything. It's just for him, unfortunately, his injury came at the wrong time.
But the situation is here with Kainos going to Widnes, it's, you know, he's not got the same quality of players around him, so is he going to struggle at Widnes? Well,
From the Leeds perspective, they need him to play, and it's back to, again, all the debates about if you don't have a reserve grade. They don't want him to go to Featherstone, because I think they feel he needs to be playing at Super League level, so that if they do need to call on him, he's ready.
Somewhere other than Leeds.
He won't be at Leeds next year.
But I think,
tell you what, another Super League side, they're going to get a quality player. And there's no two ways about it, because he is.
Yeah.
But the thing about a salary cap is you cannot keep everybody.
Mm. Yeah, but don't you keep your best players?
Yeah, but if you can't keep all of them.
All right. Okay. Well, how old's Kainost?
26. He's a late starter.
When I was Jamie Jones.
Yeah, but doesn't play in the same position as Jamie Jones.
Yeah, but he plays a lot more different, better positions than Jamie Jones.
He's not the replacement. The replacement for Jamie Jones is going to be either Cameron Smith, Mikolaj Aledski, or possibly Joe Greenwood if he comes back.
All right, so what about Kainos being better than Sutcliffe then?
Joe Greenwood?
James Greenwood.
James Greenwood?
If he comes back from the Gold Coast.
Is this some kind of...
Is that an exclusive now? Agent Kaplan here now. Yeah. Hey up, Agent Kaplan. But so do you not think Kainos is better than Sutcliffe?
It's difficult. I think Sutcliffe can cover more positions.
No, he can't.
I think he can.
No, he can't.
You're listening to Leeds Rhinos TV. No, I like this. It's a good argument.
Well, he doesn't. And also,
and I think Sutcliffe's on a long-term contract, and Kainhorst ends this year. I think that's part of the reason behind it.
Kainhorst will be at least playing next year anyway, so
move on.
But it'll be a loss. There's no two ways about it. It'll be a loss, and he will be a good signing for anybody who takes him on. But let me just say this as well: another quality second rower who's out there, and he should be in the England night side. Place of Widnes, Tom Alberson. Tell you what a quality. I've known Thomas. He played at Parkside. Played at Ulster. With my son Jonathan, Jason Walton from there. What a quality second row, and how he's matured from there. And I think he's just signed maybe a long term deal at Widnes. But I'll tell you what, if I was Thomas's agent, I would be saying, hey, listen, because this kid can score tries. Defensive wise, he's good. His work rate is very good. But boy, oh boy, if he's clear 20, 30 yards out, you ain't going to stop him. And he showed that, on Thursday night.
He did.
Quality players, young Alberson. So that's another one for the agent, Rick T, if you're looking to become an agent.
Yeah. Graham says the man of the match at Friday was the streaker.
It's all a bit outrageous.
I was there when in Featherstone.
It's all a bit outrageous before anyone bothered to try and get him off. It was weird.
Was it a Leeds fan or a Wigan fan?
Well, it's difficult to tell when he hadn't got any clothes on, to be fair.
He didn't have his shirt on at the time.
Well, he'd have had a tattoo somewhere, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah, I'm 100 yards away.
Which
end did he run from then? Wigan end or Leeds end?
He ran from the building side, didn't he?
Yeah, he came from the Western Terrace, but that's open to both sets of fans at the moment. We were just watching to see there wasn't a dressing gown being thrown down behind the goals.
Yeah. Well, there were a lot of people speculating it were you.
If it had been me, I'd have been stopping up 25 doing press ups, halfway doing press ups. Don't worry about that. I might have thrown a few sit ups in as well. Don't worry about that. What's this space for this season?
On the pitch forever. And of course, the man of the match was Richie Myler, wasn't it, in the big vote?
But then again, five minutes left, they were winning the game. Yeah. So.
I don't know, why don't they put everyone up on the vote? I was watching the Formula One for the first time in ages yesterday. I don't know why.
It's not a sport route.
There's nothing else on, but you can vote for who your driver of the day is. You go on their website and you go on the official F1 League app or whatever, and you click on that. And they've got all our F1 are all on there. Why, just put them all on there. I mean, obviously, we could all just hilariously vote for a sub or someone. No,
when you say someone silly, wasn't there a man of the match the other week that the player didn't come back after half time, but he was included in the fourth?
Well, Rob Lewis got the man of the match the other week against Warrington. I saw him drop the ball twice for two of the tries.
It was rubbish.
And he's like, what? Yeah, he was voted for
it. And he got 44% of the vote. And I watched it. I thought, well, it shouldn't be anybody man of the match.
We know Rob Lewis is a good player, but that wasn't his best day, was it?
He went at fullback and he had an absolute Joe Cocker. He got 44% of the vote. Sometimes I were like that with my glasses.
Yeah, the other thing about percentage of a vote, it doesn't tell you how many people have voted.
It does tell you on the app, though.
Does it?
Sometimes when I'm not watching a game because I'm elsewhere.
So how many people would have voted on...
Let me find out. Sometimes when I'm not watching a game and I'm elsewhere or watching it with one eye and it comes up on my phone, vote now. I do often vote even though I've got no idea.
But I tell you what, we're trying to...
vote then, is that what you say?
Yeah, well, we're talking about an individual's performance, but the team performance has got it. Well, you called it, Mark Wilson, Phil Kaplan, you said...
Wakefield.
And I said, well, you know, why are you picking that? You're pair of you are bonkers, but I tell you what, it's got to be the performance of the week, hasn't it?
It has.
Wakefield beating St Helens, went into the lead pretty early. Percival again, but he got himself a double, did Percival, but... Wakefield, well, they had to put a marker down yesterday because, as I said, over the Easter period, pretty hard for them from there, and they got beat by the top five sides. But yesterday was the important one, wasn't it? And they certainly put the marker down from there. Do you know what, as well? The great thing from Chris Chester, what delighted about his response from yesterday, because he got asked a question regarding Tom Johnson. Well, it's quite simple. Chris Chester, he's got quality players there now. He wants everybody fighting for the players. And he didn't put any... spin on the scenario. Yeah, Tom Johnson, quite clearly, has been dropped. He's been dropped because he's not been performing. He's got players at Wakefield in competition for places. They're playing better than Tom Johnson, and that's why he's dropped. And that is great honesty from a coach. Not putting any spin on it, that he might be carrying injury or he's a little bit tired over the Easter period or this sort of thing. If you don't play well for Chris Chester, you get dropped and somebody else will take your place. And that was a marker performance. But again, what Chez is saying, there's no point beating Saints. Going to Salford to go this week, Rich, isn't it? They go there, Salford on Friday, so all consistency, but that has got to be the performance of the week. And well done, Chris Chester, for being open and honest.
And I think, again, not conceding a try for the final 33 minutes of the game tells you everything about the solidity of that team. Liam Finn back, which, if you're talking about game management...
Absolutely.
Why wouldn't you want him on the pitch?
He'd have got a drop goal. If he'd been in the league, it would have been funny, wouldn't it?
Probably would have been. Good win. I fancied him. I think St Helens lost Roby, lost Wormsley, two of their best players.
Did Barber play?
Yeah. Do you think that Justin Holbrook picking virtually the same team over the whole Easter period backfired as well? Because
I also think picking Matty Smith backfired. I'm not being rude, he's dummy half, just too slow. Even when he came on the week before we watched him,
too slow,
it slowed it down, didn't it? He's got Farge, he's got, he could move one of those into the dummy half position, I'd have thought. But
what, he's playing him hooker, Matty Smith?
He did, apparently he did yesterday.
Yeah. I played him hooker. Well, it's too slow for that. And St Helens, well, their game is, we all know with Roby wants to play with the quick back of the quick play the ball and off he goes, scoots, everybody reacts quickly for that. Well, Matty Smith has nowhere may got that in his game, has he? So it just stops that momentum.
So have a look then at social media.
Yeah, James says, very frustrating at the Wakefield St Helens game, listening to people bagging refs again and again, a few questionable calls, but what a game of rugby league. Surely that's what we should focus on. Yes, it is. Stephen and others talking about Bill Tupu, played like a man who was on fire. Word of the lad, shot to see a Trinity, great victory over St Helens, outstanding by the players.
Played well.
Graham says, went to Wakey Leeds last week, Tuesday Toronto yesterday. What a far better ground than Wakey. When are them and Cass getting their ground sorted to Super League standard? What is Super League standard? They're in Super League. They're allowed to play at those grounds. They must be standard. You'll miss it when it's gone. You will. You will miss Bellevue.
Yep.
The Mobile Rocket Stadium, beg your pardon. Bill Tupu, one of the standout players for Wakefield. So
very good
this season.
I think their chairman tweeted he'd run for over 200 metres again, was the leading metre maker in the entire competition. That's a great signing.
Is he second or two or centre?
Centre
player, yeah, can play on the wing.
Centre or wing. Incredibly powerful. Great try. I think went through about three players to score his try. Brilliant.
Is that one of those tries you see in those under-7s games they play before matches where you give it to the big lad And he just... All these little kids are on his ankles and he just goes over.
Well, like, Wakefield, they do play the game the right way, don't they? They do play attractive open rugby league. And, you know, with Jacob at the halfback as well, with Finney, yeah, they've got a very well-balanced side. And, yeah, the five games, what they lost against the big boys, and what we're saying is a combination of, what, 12 or 14 points. So they're not far off. And yesterday, it just showed that they can handle the pressure, that target, what they've got on the back from there. People are giving the respect what they deserve. So, yeah, yesterday it just showed they can handle that. And yeah, if they perform like that consistently, the players getting 7, 8 out of 10 every week, they'll be all right.
Rhys Lynn, man of the match yesterday as well. He has very much improved.
So mature, doesn't he?
Opening couple of weeks of the season, I thought he was outstanding. So he's another one. He's getting better.
He is, yeah.
Funny that, isn't it? Players get better.
Well,
do you
know why they get better?
Because competition for places.
Correct. And they get an opportunity to play, and then to say, right, okay, then if I don't hit that 7 or 8 out of 10 every week, I've got somebody of the same quality. That's exactly what Chess has got there at Wakefield. Then he knows he's going to get a job out of him.
Which of course isn't happening in four of the teams that are at the bottom of the league. Two via injuries, and others because they feel they're safe in their position.
He's in the Knights squad. Yes. So another up and coming centre from there. If there is injuries, it's a position, you know, certainly from the Super League area where we had Gleeson and we had Senior and Gary Connolly and Paul Neuder from there. So since them guys have gone away, we've been lacking a little bit in quality. So there seems to be a bit of backup. If there is a situation with Watkins and Percival, and I know Bateman's been playing the centre, but and Shenton as well from there. So, yeah, it's a position where, like a fullback and hookers, you know, we seem to be getting that quality there.
Has Mr. Percival up before the beak for
has he got a one-match
tirade?
Yes, one-match ban.
Well, I've seen him.
Well, he was summoned in for
dissent.
Oh, right.
Late on.
Don't understand that with players' dissent.
No match official
is ever going to change his mind, is he?
One match penalty notice for disputing a decision. Well, surely then half the bloody Super League should be a penalty. I don't understand that.
You know when they send the email out, you'd just be on cut and paste Gary Schofield abusing match officials.
Nowadays we didn't have emails.
No, but they do now.
No, do they?
Some of the relief players are very good at cutting.
Hey, do you know what? My phone. I've got something that says Gmail. What's Gmail?
Don't tell him.
No.
Don't tell him.
No, we'll move on, guys. Move on.
Hold on, what is it?
You know, if you go down to the community centre, Belisle Community Centre, they do computers for beginners. I suggest you go.
It's like better than email.
Look,
Kev's out
there. Look, that envelope there.
It's Google Mail.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
All right.
But be very careful.
Get that legend, you're in.
Be very careful.
You're in. We'll sign you up for a few websites.
Yeah, I'm going to say, if you get...
I'm not interested.
Has it come from Eastern Europe?
I'm not interested. Just send me a message with a picture.
Send you an email saying if you lend him some money, he's going to make you a millionaire.
He's going to make you the coach of the Nigerian rugby league team.
Although Albania did play for the first time this weekend.
I'll stick to the pigeons, keeping delivering me messages, and that'll do.
Yeah,
it's on my phone there. Yeah. So should that not be on my phone then?
Yes, no. Everyone in the world's got it, Gary.
Oh, have you?
Well noticed, mate. Well noticed. How many phone users are there in the UK? 70 million. And Gary's just worked out he's got Gmail.
Oh, yeah, I used to be a smart halfback, you know. Believe it or not.
You know them glasses? Are they glazed over? Or what's happened to them? Let's move on.
Well, Kev is our favourite Saints fan. He was not impressed by Matty Smith. He says, I fancy Wakefield to beat Saints by 7 yesterday. It shows how much we miss Roby. Why Holbrook started Smith at hooker is beyond me. I barely rate Smith as a scrum half. But if he's a hooker, then I'm Spartacus. He has to go.
But don't St. Helens have a backup hooker then, do they?
I thought, isn't the
Fargo? Cunningham's son's at Leeds, so can't they call him back? He's a hooker, isn't he?
I don't know. You know what, if that Kieran Cunningham statue ever gets knocked down or robbed...
It's going to play a hooker.
The police will be at Kev's house. He's the number one suspect. You don't like Kieran Cunningham. Now he don't like Matty Smith.
He fully supports referees for sin binning or sending off players for back channel foul language. He wants to see more players binned and sent back 10 yards every time they say something to an official. Percival was stupid yesterday for his behaviour.
Why do the RFL just not send a statement saying
absolutely
anyone found speaking to the referee, apart from the captain, will be penalised?
Yeah. Yep. For televised games, everybody surrounding the referee saying, go to the screen, go to... I'm sorry, if it's the captain... I will speak to him. Yeah. If it's anybody else, you're in the bin.
Yeah. Steve agrees with Kev. Mentioned what you were saying about playing in slow motion from acting half. Neil says, easy way to stop dissent, penalise any, zero tolerance penalty, add 10 minutes until they shut up. That's still in the rules. The rules haven't changed, have they?
Very few referees are marching teams an extra 10 metres as well. Just do it. The whole thing about the game is territory, isn't it? You fight for every metre you get. Yeah. So if somebody's going to be stupid enough to jeopardise their side 10 metres by chirping at the ref,
I've said it many, many
keep
times.
Doing it.
I've said
just
it many
keep
times.
Doing it.
In our day with Fred Lindop, you literally, I'm going to say, he just went 10. You, 10. That was it. You never did it. No, because you'd end up maybe in the opposition 25, you'd end up 10 yards from your own try line. Yeah, yeah. That's what he wanted. And that stops it.
Absolutely.
Prevention stops it, doesn't it? It's a cure. Yeah. Great referee, Fred Lindop.
Just for Keith, Scurry hands his invoices in on a bit of paper handwritten.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Paul, I'm inquiring about your IT.
Paul says, have you got the snake game on your phone?
No, he has, but he hasn't worked out how to play it yet, so we'll move on. You're getting some hammer, Scurry. We love it. don't forget, by the way, this show is brought to you in association with Pontefract Racecourse, who hosts their third annual Rugby League evening on Monday the 11th of June. Meet the players and coaches from the Castleford Tigers, Wakefield Trinity, Huddersfield Giants and Featherstone Rovers will all be there. It's a great night of racing on offer with six top quality races, including the Mr. Wolf Sprint, which commemorates one of the all-time Ponty greats. Bring your season ticket along and get grandstand and paddock entry to Pontefract's Rugby League evening for just a fiver, or with VIP tickets at £42 for adults and £10 for children. It's a perfect chance to get up close to your Rugby League favourites. You want to listen to this, Scoey, because for more details or to book, you need to visit the website, pontefract-races.co.uk.
Hey, listen, I'm meeting you here at 4:30 to get the lift. Easy. That's my Gmail.
There you go. Scoey's in, he's booked in already. Right, we will be there, it will be a great... Yeah. It's always a great night.
Oh, it is, yeah.
It is a great night.
Yeah, come along and say hello. All the listeners, whichever team you support, come and say hello.
Yeah,
delighted. Yeah, if you want some photographs or autographs from the team, the proper sport team, we're there for you. Mm. Well, lads.
I don't think you mean
just don't ask for tips from him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's I always sat somewhere a little less. I might even take some deck chairs.
Well, last year, Tom and your sister Tracy, they did very well last year. Didn't they win four out of the six races?
Did
or something?
They?
Yeah, I think they
nobody
did.
Nobody mentioned
right.
that on the way. Up.
Yeah, I think they did all right. Yeah, Tom and Tracy.
Why didn't they get the fish and chips in at the end?
I don't remember anyone
got
tired.
No.
Yeah. I can't remember getting myself a chip butter. To be honest with you.
Stephen says if a player does swear at match officials either on the field or off play, so they should be sent off. Otherwise, they have no respect. They do have no respect.
But I think we got to balance with what we're asking players to do with what we need to ask of ourselves as well as fans.
Clogger's been on. He said, where's his invite? I thought you'd invited him on.
I invited Mike Close on 2 weeks ago at Wakefield and he said he was coming on last week. So, Martin, you said he was coming on.
The offer's open.
Yeah.
You're only welcome, though, if you come in that hat that you wear when you run on with a kicking tee.
But, Martin, you're more than welcome anytime. So, if you're coming on, come when you want, you know. So he said he was coming on last week. So, Clogger, you know, it's open for you, son. It's open for you, but we're going to be asking you some questions. Don't worry about that. He needs to, we're going to ask him some questions.
What are you going to ask him?
I'll be asking him.
Will he have some tales of the legend?
I would imagine. Yeah, certainly at Barrow. Yeah, brought him up to Barrow. Yeah, so
that went well.
Still, I bet he was really happy about that.
Barrow. Well, he salted himself, and I think what Martin did, he salted himself, and I think maybe the finances what he asked for, he must have thought, Scully's not going to agree to this anyway. I managed to, steady away. Then he must have been thinking, oh bloody hellfire. Oh no, what have I let myself in for? We had some great conversations driving up there and driving back and all this sort of thing. But I'll tell you the truth. Well, Clogger's a good kid.
Yeah.
He'll tell you the truth.
The funniest thing I have ever seen was when we're at Wakefield and you, what did you say to him about the people like you? And he just spat his tea out.
Oh yeah, in press room.
And he just walked out. It was so funny.
It was
funny.
Scotty causing havoc in the press room.
Oh, yeah.
At Wakefield.
It'll never happen.
Do you know when we go to Wakefield? When I go to Wakefield next time, right, because I've been told there's
You'll be on best behaviour.
Yeah, I'm always on best behaviour, Mark. I'm always on best behaviour, very respectful. And also, I'll say, but when I do go to Wakefield next time, I'm being told there's no bread cakes. I'm bringing me own. Iceland, where I live at Balao, from there, they do 12 for a quid.
The new
so all you press
the
guys
new
from there, I'll have a couple. Yeah, by the way, I don't mind a few chips. I'll be having two little small bread cakes. I'll be bringing my own bread cakes because Wakefield don't supply them anymore.
All right.
Okay.
Very good.
Do you want me to save you one, Mark?
Yeah, go on then.
I'll save you one.
Yeah.
Alice, do you want one, love? I'll save you one, Alice. Alice, I'll save you one, darling.
Got to pay for David for a feet or something. Cut back on bread.
Very good.
I'm not claiming it back. It's only £1.
It'll be in there somewhere on the invoice.
Now it's going to cause a thing about what bread cakes are called. Don't do that on Facebook. Paul says, thoughts on the League One games this weekend? Half the games, 50-plus point blowouts. What a surprise that York and Doncaster and remind me which Cumbrian team, Whitehaven, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
At home and Bradford.
Well, Rich, beat
smaller teams by big scores.
Well, what it is, Rich, right, it's the same as Super League. You've got your top seven, you know, Salford are going to the top eight, and then you've got the bottom four who are way behind in the Championship. You've got the same again in the Championship from there, where you look at what Swindon, Rochdale, Sheffield, Barrow and Batley. Batley are creeping up a little bit.
Batley doing all right.
So you've got two divisions in one division, and the same in League One as well. You've got the top nine sides, and you've got bottom five sides who realistically, you know, are nowhere near up to where they want to be from there. So it's two leagues in one, and you're going to get these blowout scores. It can't be helped because the quality's not there.
Which side are Keith Lean?
Top nine, yeah. But to be honest with you, And I'm honest to you, Richie, Phil, is that, you know, we're ninth. So if you look at that, take the bottom five out of it, you look at that, we're bottom of the league. Do you know what I mean? You know, where we don't want to be. You know, again, it's inconsistency from our point of view from there. So, but in the Championship, as me and Mark Wilson said many times, we've covered the Championship, and even in League One, if you don't bring your A game, if you don't bring that consistency where you're looking to get 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10 every week from your players, you're going to get turned over.
I couldn't have faulted Coventry's effort and their desire to move the ball yesterday, but they were 50 points different.
Yeah.
They were inexperienced, is what I would have said yesterday. Well, they made some daft mistakes. They did some really good things, and then did something really stupid.
Well, it was the same.
Just experience would stop that.
And they're not physically big enough, either.
It was the same when we played Emma last week. You know, we beat Emma 80 points to 10. That was exactly the same. They did some good things, but they didn't do it for long enough, you know, for about 5 or 6 minutes. But then all of a sudden, you know, you go bang, 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 15, 20 minutes on there, where you're putting 26, 30 points on the board because they can't handle the sort of pressure. And unfortunately, they haven't got the quality, you know, to stay into them games.
Yeah. The answer isn't just getting rid of them, though, is it? That's the problem.
No,
it isn't, Gary.
No, I agree.
Because you get rid of them and you lose another batch of players.
Yeah, I agree, but... Yeah. How do you make it? But
I think we said it.
How do you make it competitive, isn't it?
But we said it last week as well, that when you get rid of two teams who were towards the bottom in the All Golds and Oxford, you're taking away the ability of the lower teams in that division to win matches against sides that are similar to them. So they don't learn anything because every week they get a hammering. So something does need to be done. We need to decide what we want from that division.
I know you've mentioned this before, four divisions of 10.
Yeah.
If you drew it like that, you'd have Huddersfield and Catalans would be demoted, if you like. They'd be in with Toronto, Fev, Toulouse, London, Lee, Halifax, Batley. And then you'd have, and Dewsbury, then you'd have like Barrow, Sheffield, Rochdale and Swinton in with likes of Doncaster, Bradford, York, Whitehaven, Hunter. That'd be a competitive division. And then the teams below that'd be competitive. These teams aren't allowed to build because they just get battered every other week or 2 weeks out of three.
Yeah.
They need to be in an environment where they can
win. Where they can compete.
How do you get better by winning games and knowing what to do when the pressure's on?
And every so often you do need to play sides that are better than you, so they're benchmarking and you aspire to be them. And you know, internationally it's the same. You want to be playing more test matches to give the tier two ranked nations the chance to play more often against tier one ranked nations because they'll build the intensity that they play at. But we got it wrong in all three divisions at the moment if we think we genuinely have got every minute mattering.
Craig sent in a joke which is quite good, but we're not a joke service.
That's why
we are a joke. I get that, but yeah,
it's interesting whenever like the Rugby League World Cup comes around or whatever, and you always get that only one team stroke, two stroke, three can win it. When you actually look at, you know, and the big sport du jour is netball. Well done, England. It was ace. Beat Australia. We all hate Australia. There aren't that many teams competing at the top end of netball. And no one's on the BBC website saying, they're all rubbish.
They have a division of 10 in what they call their Super League. and they've had five winners of the Super League in less time, a lot less time than we have. So the talent is more spread out. Their franchising system, they have done more rigorously than we have, seen by the fact that Yorkshire Jets weren't given a franchise because they didn't have a facility that was deemed to be big enough to be a Super League team.
Were they not given a franchise, or did they just the money man?
No, they weren't given a franchise.
Oh, I thought the money man pulled out.
A mate of mine just texted me, what's a bread cake? Is that Bradford, you call them pan cake or something, don't you?
I call it a tea cake.
Oh, tea cake, yeah.
Tea cake's got raisins in it.
It's a bread cake, isn't it?
No, we're not... Well, this is not the BBC.
This is not really...
Favourite biscuits.
We're not the morning programme.
Well, stop sending me silly messages. What's a bread cake?
Have you got a problem with dog mess in your village, Texas? No. Auditioning one day, you never know.
Richard, we'd just like to mention.
I mean, like, worse than Donald Trump on Batch. No, somebody else. It wasn't me. Steve wants to wish York all the best for the game. James Foley's a good coach, and it'd be great to see them beat the Catalans. Would be.
Well.
Speaking of League One, Rob's asked, how did Kieran Gill go against Scoey's Cougars? That's not the official name of the team, by the way. On his
Josh's, Josh's Giants, Scoey's Cougars.
Well, that's from, on DVD, though.
You're from Wakefield?
No, it's from Cass, isn't it?
Yeah. Cass is... well, I didn't take much notice, to be honest with you. I didn't take much notice, so I can't really comment.
All right. Can't see from in the bar.
No, facilities like that.
Are you going to Newcastle on?
I am indeed, yes. Yeah, we're going up to Newcastle on Sunday. Another test for us. And then we've got Whitehaven at home. Yeah. Also, I just need to put a bit of a shout out because I want to bring a bit more personality to the Cougars. So, Chris Kamara, we know Chris, don't we? I think he's a big rugby league fan. Chris, if you listen to this show, give me a call, please, would you? Or contact on Twitter if you don't mind, because I want to invite you down to the Cougars. The football season's finishing soon. So, do you know what? It'd be unbelievable if we could get Chris down to the Cougars to come and watch us. We'll look after him with the hospitality. It will be great. So, Chris, if you listen to the show, we want to bring you down to the Cougars. Entertaining rugby league.
Giving him an invoice for that.
What are you shaking
at? What do you think you're doing?
What are you shaking at?
What do you think you're doing? You know, we mentioned the 80s.
I'm bringing personalities into the game of rugby league to come and watch rugby league.
Too many people.
No, you're not. You're begging. That's what you're doing.
I'm asking.
It's everyone's favourite favourite word, buzzword in rugby league, personalities.
Marketing, I call it marketing.
Yeah, call it.
I call it marketing. Nothing wrong with marketing, Mark Wilson, is there?
See, if you knew how to work social media, you could direct message.
I'll give you his email address.
Well, yeah, send him an email.
Just DM him.
You're on Twitter, Scott. Yeah. You can tweet it.
Just direct message.
On your phone.
Via Gmail.
Yeah. Your phone hasn't got the Twitter app, has it?
I think you're having a pop at me, you know.
No, I'm just saying, if it has deleted.
What makes you think that?
You're having a pop at the Balala, are you? You're having a pop at the Balala now, aren't you? Come on.
No, we wouldn't do that.
You are.
We wouldn't do that.
Anyway, Chris, get in contact, please, because we want to look after you.
Let's move on.
Does he listen? Peter says, some fans think Watson should replace at Salford and can get more out of the place. Absolute rubbish. He's doing a great job.
Absolutely.
What can he do? What can he do?
The fans want rid of Watson.
Well, there's two trains of thought on that. Obviously, them fans are daft. But I'm assuming they're drinking that much lager at the games that they can't see the games. Probably you need them to still keep going and keep the club going.
Well, I think that is an absolute pathetic comment from Salford fans.
They're not even justifying
it. I'd rather talk
about tea cakes than talk.
It's not worth talking about, is it? What's a big replace at Salford?
All right, move on then. Move on, let it go. And now, Scoey being replaced, that's something we do need to talk about.
But listen, fella, but also as well, what is it fans' mentality then? What's the mentality there? He's doing a great job.
Well, it's almost as if they've had a few years of an owner saying, oh, we're going to buy success or whatever. And
unrelenting triumph they've had.
Yeah, an utter failure. Why isn't Dr. Kukas at the Cumbrian women's team then?
He should have been at Bradford yesterday, but didn't turn up.
Why did he spend too much time?
Ralph was there, though, wasn't he? Ralph was there. Mm-hmm. And he's bobble out.
Our leader. Yeah. Did he have an England Rugby Union scarf on, or did the other fella take that with him?
he made Claude Greengrass look smart, honestly.
Who's that?
Ralph on thing. Turned up with his woolly hat on.
Benny. Is it a wall of white ones?
The old balls one. Yeah.
The old balls,
honestly.
Terry asked a question of the legend. After seeing Leeds and Wigan's dire game and Saints getting beat by a side on a 5-game losing streak, does Mr. Schofield still believe those are the only three sides who can win Super League? That was last week, Terry.
I can't believe you said that.
Yeah.
I really can't believe you
can't,
said that.
You can't rule Castleford out at this
given
stage,
that
sure.
One other team is guaranteed to be 80 minutes away from the final. How can you say they're the only three that can win?
Because they're the quality of what I've seen, and I still stick by that.
You wouldn't have said that on Friday night. You certainly still, wouldn't have used the word quality.
I still stick by that. We will see. Not often wrong.
How is the tipping table at the moment?
Not
here?
Often wrong. What?
Where not, are you on the tipping table?
Not often wrong.
When it comes to the big pressure games, I'm not often wrong.
Oh, whatever.
What do you mean, whatever?
I've got to find
whatever.
The table now.
Are you bottom still?
Well, I can't, on the official media one, I'm doing rubbish. I'm closing the gap, though, in our one. I had a full house last
week. Who's bottom of ours?
Well, it's not you. And it's not Richard. And it's not me.
So the bloke who never gets things wrong is bottom of the league.
Tom McGuire, is it?
Just check.
I think you're also, without actually ever officially entering it, you're bottom of the Wakefield supporters. Because they take your tips off here and put them in their competition. And you're bottom of that as well. That's how rubbish you are. You're rubbish.
Scotty's not bottom
move
anymore.
On. Move on.
What I think you need to do is sweet talk a few people. So next time you go to Wakefield,
sweet talk anybody.
Next time you go to Wakefield, I won't just get one bag of tickets. I get about 30 dozen. You know, keep everyone sweet.
Well, normally it's about 12, 14. Yes, yeah, so I'll bring two packs. It'll cost me £2.
There are six people below you in the table, so you know. But you're only 30 points behind Harvey Wiles, so you still got
I can't
chance.
Say too much because on that one, I'm only just above Gary.
Even Danny Parkinson's above you. He didn't even exist these days.
No.
Who's below me then?
The Dagenham Girl Pipers.
Michael Burke, I didn't know he was a fan. I love 999, that was great. Yeah,
he's making the documentary about the 68 water splash.
Oh, there you go.
Go on, who else?
Ted Whisker, Pete Nuttall, Mark Griffin.
Ted Whisker's 7 years old,
there
by the way.
So, 7-year-old. Mark Griffin, James Gordon and Trevor Baxter.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. See, they're all knowledge about rugby league, so yeah, there you go. The legend's in front of them.
Harvey's top.
Behind 73 others. So
yeah,
when Mr. Clawson comes in next week, it's a straight substitution then. Bloke at the bottom of the league gets relegated.
No. What we'll have is a handover period where he can come in for 2 hours and absolutely annihilate him, and then we'll get rid of Scott.
Yeah. I did find it amusing, Andrew's talking about commentary teams. Not going to get into it in depth, but I did like the fact that people moaned that on Sky on Thursday before the game, they had Jamie George Buchanan, who's not on Sky every week, and Johnny Cunningham of St Helens, who's not on TV every week, and more that they were on TV and not people they wanted to be on TV. So. People just, I don't know. Lots and lots of things about stuff. Liam says, Wigan Cass will be a bruiser. Clubs hate each other. Coaches hate each other. Before even mentioning Wigan's transfer policy towards Cass. What's Wigan's transfer policy towards Cass?
Don't know. Are they going to unveil Zaka?
We talk about marketing. We mentioned it loads of times on the show. But, you know, why are they marketing the two coaches who can't stand each other? Sean and Dan.
Wednesday afternoon, have them together.
Absolutely.
Like the old, the boxing.
Yeah, correct.
Bit of trash talk.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Where is Eddie Hearn? See, are we on quiet on that again now? Is that just a thing?
Yeah.
Well, Joshua fight's been on now. He's got notes to promote.
Joshua Pro has sent us a picture of Scully at Iceland getting his...
That's a bit of a slim Scully. Could he use a better picture than that?
Iceland in Southern California, apparently.
Oh,
Because Yorkshire Pro's friend of the...
friend of the show.
Should say, bit of housekeeping, if you don't know. And now Jai Hitchcock has gone to Bradford on loan.
Yeah.
They train on a Tuesday.
Ah.
So, the 6-8 debates...
He's on a Wednesday.
He's on a Wednesday now.
Ah, there you go.
For the next... however long he's loan lasts.
Well, he's got another 3 weeks.
There you go.
Double try score on his day.
Yeah. Is he cup tied, though, this week?
Oh, see,
I can't imagine he'd be allowed to play, would he?
No.
And then Ollie Holmes scored two as well.
Ollie Holmes, yeah. Yeah.
Hey, listen, fellas. Listen. The way the Catalans are playing, no disrespect to all that scored in two tries, but Phil Kaplan, with that knee bandage on, could score against Catalans. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the way Catalans are playing, our Mukaria could score against Catalans with a knee bandage on.
He could.
Could he?
Could, yeah.
That's the biggest endowment of Steve McNamara ever, if that's true.
Baz said that it looks like at that game, the Catalans players looked as though they couldn't care less, which is the worst thing you can accuse of.
Well, again, it tells you that they don't want to play. Macca's lost the dressing room. They don't want to play for him. So, as I've said before, experience what I had, and I say with Morris, you know, it's not nice. And it's not right. It's not the right thing to do. But if the dressing room's not right, the players don't want to play for the coach, the senior players have to go to the chairman and say, we don't want to play for him. He's got to go. He's got to go. And I'll tell you, York will beat Catalans this week. The legend is telling you, you might think I'm bonkers.
I agree. I'll tell you. What's the handicap,
York,
Rich?
York will beat Catalans this week, and they're going to rip into them. The atmosphere is going to be... They won't want to go to York. They won't want to travel over here and go to York.
Price, Scully, right? What we'll do is we'll all have a tenner on. And when it wins, we'll all come to Keighley for some hospitality with the proceeds.
Or buy some bread cakes.
No, we'll go to Keighley.
And York have got a smart kit for the game, haven't they? A special kit with a nod back to when they were rubbish. The Wasps. Because, yeah. The listeners may not realise they were an offshoot of Coventry Wasps off of the Aviva Premiership.
I tell you, there'll be a great atmosphere to see, you know, John Flatman and who's the other guy? Who's the other guy in charge?
I can't remember.
We can't mention the other guy who was in charge because we might get in trouble. But anyway, it's Mark Campbell, and John Flatman. You know, they're in charge of York from there. They're doing a great job, and they'll be marking the game. They'll be marking the game brilliantly on Sunday. I tell you, York will beat Catalans. They will. What's the handicap?
It's not up yet. It's not up yet. I reckon it'll be about 20 or 30 points up.
20, 30 points? Yeah, we're on.
That's what they do, isn't it? That's what they do.
Bingo, we're on.
I'm probably wrong, and it might be even bigger. I'm just guessing. Saints are 22 points against Huddersfield. Oh, heck.
Wow.
We're big fans of the York shirt, and we like York, and, you know, if you're in the area, go down and watch it. I know it's on the internet, but go down, give the club some money, because they are doing good things, and if only... other clubs higher up took the example of York in how to promote things, we might all be better off. Or we can just be, you know, moan that they don't bring away fans like people are doing about Catalans. We want them out of Super League, they don't bring any away fans.
Cool. Move on.
Peter asks, who was the angriest player Scotty played with? Is Bruffy worse?
Angriest? Yeah. What do you mean, one who moaned and what have you? Oh, yeah, Andy Gregory. Yeah, Mr. Angry. Yeah, Andy Greg. Quality player, the best scrum half he's produced since Alex Murphy, isn't he? But, Angry. Yes, he was. Did you see Greg play? When you used to watch Greg, did you see his play of the balls? Oh, the worst player of the balls ever.
So he fitted in the modern game, is that what we're saying?
With Hard Out. Oh, yeah.
With the play of the balls.
But no, Angry and, have a bit of yap and a bit of a moan. Yeah.
Angrier than Sean Edwards?
Sean went angry. No, Sean went angry, but Greg was. Yeah. And I say it in an angry way, in a competitive angry way. Do you know what I mean? That was Greg's DNA from there. But I say he's the best scrum half we produce is Alex Murphy, without a shadow of a doubt. But yes, he likes a bit of a whinge and a bit of a moan, that's for sure. He did.
Have we heard the rumours, asked Stephen? He's asked me, I'm the least connected man in rugby league. Westerman into Wakefield and Paulie out.
I have heard that Joe Westerman is wanting a move, so there might well be something in it, but I can't neither confirm nor deny, because I don't know anything about Paulie.
Andy thinks every club should hire a rugby union kicking coach. Seems to work for Wigan, doesn't it?
But, fair enough.
Knight says, do you think the bottom four teams are already preparing for the middle eights? Is that a flaw with the Super League system?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Because they get three goals at avoiding relegation.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's
do you think if it was the bottom one that played the top one, if that's how you wanted to do it, how intense that battle would be at the moment for that bottom four?
Yeah, absolutely.
There'd be something on every week, whereas now there isn't.
Yeah. No, there isn't.
Because we're the best one in the world, and we saw it with Hull KR, Hull, Easter. They played Hull, lost to Hull, got battered at Wigan, but they won against Widnes. Out of the three games, that was, for them, probably the only one they needed to win, and they won it.
Because that's what they were preparing for, Mark.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Yeah, so needs changing.
Adam's asked us, can we tell him what Catalan Dragons have brought to Super League?
Who's he asking that to?
To us, because, you know, people don't like them because they don't bring away fans.
Right.
I think their corporate model is exceptional. I think if you were to analyse the the match day experience at Perpignan, there are on average 400 odd people taking meals. They built a club in 10 years that gets an average of 8,000 going and watching their home games, slipping a bit at the moment because of the way that they're playing. I think they bring a lot to Super League. I think the whole premise of Super League is that we wanted to try and expand the game as well, and we're judging them on 1.5 very poor seasons, and one when Kevin Walters was in charge when perhaps they should have got relegated. But overall, since 2006, having been to a Challenge Cup final, I think their record stands with a lot of the other Super League teams.
I've never been, but Andy says Catalan away is great.
It is.
From a lot
it
of
absolutely
people.
Is. I would recommend that to anybody, whoever you support. If you can get to Catalan away, the 80 minutes are the least important. It's the whole weekend surrounding. It's brilliant.
I think Wakefield fans were moaning this year because we had to go in February rather than when it was sunny. So there you go. Paul says, he says with a quizzical tone of voice, should the RFL look at the promotion for the Josh Warrington fight at Elland Road as a way to promote the game? Pulled together Leeds United, the Rhinos and the Kaiser Chiefs, better than a bleep test. Is that fight sold out?
There's,
I don't know.
There's been a video come out from the Warrington camp that has got certainly the Rhinos players in it.
Yeah, well, he's a big Leeds lad.
Yeah, well, he's had rugby league players bring him into the ring,
but
haven't
that's
he?
That's it, isn't he? He's a Leeds lad. He's not the worldwide superstar.
Might be if he wins this fight, because why would he be world champion? I would have an association with it, but isn't it the same as Magic Weekend? So,
but I think it's in terms of how they're selling it. Should the RFL take a leaf? Well, we all agree the video with the brown leaves was crap.
Oh, God, Ralph Limmer said it was brilliant.
Who did?
Ralph.
And the brown leaves are no good now. They didn't even win the Commonwealth Games.
No.
Oh, we can't show that again, then.
No. So we can't show it again anyway.
We're saying that's rubbish.
Ralph said it was brilliant, did he?
He was impressed by it.
He was.
He was quite taken aback when one or two people said, we don't think it's as good as you think it is.
Yeah. Phil, we're getting ripped into him.
But as I say, we'll see if the marketing's worth for the Josh Warrington fight with the crowd they...
Oh, no, they'll get a crowd because it's a one-off. It's a unique...
Well, is it the same as the FA Cup final, the Royal Wedding and Magic Weekend? Yeah. So it's like...
But will he sell out more tickets than Leeds and Cass?
Hey, I've been invited to the David Hay fight as well, David Hay and...
Bellew
fight.
Who's invited you to that?
One of the sponsors at QV Cougars, one of his mates down London, can't go. £800 tickets and he's let them go for 100 ringside they are, but I can't go as a friend of ours. It's 60th at Edley on the Saturday night, so I can't go.
Whatever. You mean you won't pay the 100 quid, you tight sod?
Oh, no, it's the family's going.
You spending 100 quid, right? It's not going
to
happen.
Plus, as well, I can't because Keith the Cougars play at home to Coventry, I think we play as well.
What, on Sunday?
On 6, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So you can't drive home from London then in
I'll be having a few sherbets, won't I? So how can I do that?
Right, we'll get on the train then. Oh, no, because that'll cost you as well, won't it?
That's expensive, the trip.
Oh, hold on. I'm buying a bucket load of bread cakes, so don't be saying I'm tight.
You're buying 2 quid worth of bread cakes.
Doesn't matter what the cost is.
And I bet you get the out-of-date ones as well. I bet it don't even cost you 2 quid.
No, and a receipt.
And they've been in my freezer for the last 3 months.
Anyway, the weather's changing this week. When's the barbecue?
Barbecue will be on soon.
Still snowing apparently in Toronto, says Tony.
All right.
Could they have problems if they get promoted? No, just play all their away games first, though.
Yeah.
Here's Dawn. Yeah, this is the big news from Australia this week. What they've decided to do, they've had this great idea where they're going to play all of the games in the NRL in one venue over a weekend.
You're kidding.
And they're going to call it NRL Super Mega Magic Weekend thing. And we're all going to go...
Why didn't we?
And it's in Brisbane.
Why don't we do that? Yeah.
Mm. Very good.
Sometimes there are good ideas.
But funnily enough, they've planned it over a year in advance.
Mm. As opposed to 6 months beforehand.
Let's hope it's better organised than the Commonwealth Games closing ceremony.
No, that was rubbish, wasn't it?
Yeah. Apparently everyone just walked out, didn't they, while it was still on.
Well,
on
with it.
Just loads of speeches, apparently.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Not to repeat a line I did on Twitter yesterday, but the Australians have got form for this now, having all left the Rugby League World Cup final, you know, immediately afterwards, haven't they? The Australians. Yeah. And says, big shout out to all the amateur junior clubs. My son did awesome this week, along with his teammates for the under sevens at the Bronte Barbarians. Go on the Barbarians.
What colours do they play?
Black and white. at Castro Union Club because I was
there
watching.
Oh, you were there watching.
I don't know if I was watching Ant and Son or not. I don't know, but yeah. Up at Castro Union, nice facilities.
You're not a good agent.
Any of your relatives have got any talent? Come and see Rich.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not accredited yet by the RFL. I think
I'm not sure that matters, to be honest.
Well, what I'll do is I'll just say they want to retire and play Junior Rugby Union instead.
Sources tell me.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Right, that Polly Polly's not leaving Wakefield.
There you go. There you go, people.
There you go.
We'll do that, could be.
We'll move on.
I've been to Catalan Away, says Adam, and it is a good time. I don't see why we accommodate teams thousands of miles away over the ones we can see in our own backyard and not pay a lot of money doing so. If we want the Super League to become a European competition, it will be at the expense of heartland clubs, and the game will, in my opinion, regress at home at the expense of clubs further away. We should be marketing the sport better on our own doorstep, starting with that. It's good to get easier. It's easy to get good attendances when you're the only major rugby league club in one country. You'll end up with about 56 well-supported clubs in England, and fans of other clubs will lose interest.
I'm not sure about that, Adam.
It's the Catalan's fault. Barrow, it's the Catalan's fault. No one goes to watch Oldham.
Batley, 662. Dewsbury, 932. Halifax, 1,399. Rochdale, 312. Sheffield, 982. That is not the fault of the Catalan Dragons. Move on.
Remember, York get those attendances in League One by putting the spade work in, getting their hands dirty and doing some promotion.
Yeah.
And I know not everyone has the money to do so or whatever.
Well, York, they got 916 yesterday for the scholars. I'd love to know what that figure was last season.
York don't do it because they spend money. They've got volunteers and a strategy by which to deliver.
Maybe hold on, what does that mean? Strategy.
Well, there you go.
Maybe people should ask York how they do it and then copy what they do.
Just won't do because they haven't come up with the idea first, so they don't want to be embarrassed. Simple as that.
Ant said it cost him a bit of money yesterday because his son scored 7 tries at £1 a try.
Hold on, he's a professional.
I was going to say professional.
He's a professional. So £7, if you're on 10%, that's 70p you'd have earned yesterday if you'd have been his agent.
We've got into a debate about the point of the Catalan Dragons. I don't know why we're talking.
That's over 80 bread cakes.
Yeah.
It is. It's a lot of money, that.
They get pizza and chips afterwards as well. The players are well fed.
Do they?
Yeah.
So you could have had 70p and pizza.
And pizza and chips, yeah. Oh, wow. Pop.
Off down to Castro Union next week. Go on then.
Else, let me go back to the big list of things people say. Stephen sent this in ages ago about Phil saying we need to bring youngsters to the games. We're talking about the crowds at the Women's Super League and stuff. To get them hooked. This is why clubs should play Saturday and Sunday and not late at night. And the only problem is, as long as the TV people want to pay money for games on Thursday and Fridays, they will be played on Thursdays and Fridays. We can't change that.
Can't change it.
Dave has asked us, at the nearly midway point of the regular season, who do you lads think have been the best signing, best rookie and best import so far?
That's an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah. Silence, because it's a tricky question.
Yeah, that is a good question. I like that question.
I should have asked this earlier and come up with an
Give
idea.
Give us time to think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 13 minutes.
Best import or, I don't know, best rookie. Does Danny Richardson still
count as a rookie? Danny Richardson would have to be on that list, wouldn't
he? Yeah, Richardson would be the rookie.
Is rookie somebody who's made their debut this year or just somebody who's a young player?
I'd say under a certain amount of games, surely.
Yeah, he only played 3 games last year, didn't he? So he's got to be the rookie this year. Yeah, so Richardson, yeah, without a doubt. overseas player, obviously Ben Barber. Surely, isn't it?
But he came last year. He came last year, didn't he?
Yeah, but he only played how many games? He played 3 games, didn't he?
No.
Also, looking for this year then. Right, okay. And the best player so far,
Best signing.
Best signing.
Let's have your thoughts on that quickly on social media.
Dave's flummoxed us with a tricky question.
Yes,
I think Ben Nakubuai could be the best overseas player.
Right. Good.
He's getting better every week.
Mm-hmm. Stephen says we should look out for Joe Batchelor. Of course, we'll be playing for York. Perhaps
6 Super League clubs in for him.
Yeah.
Live on another website, and that was.
Yeah. Okay. Any more? I know our colleague Mick has messaged.
Yeah, we asked Mick Gledel of Bulls Live fame.
Proper sport.
Can you ask Gary Schofield this, please, Mark? If you're in charge of the RFL, how would you fix refereeing? Too many inconsistencies from week to week. The humans, isn't it?
Well, how
ask us difficult questions.
How can you fix it? Well, one thing I would do is quite simple, and I know Martin Sadler's touching League Express and talk about with the video referees. I'd get rid of the video referees because it's putting far too much pressure on referees. They referee far differently when on television and when they're not, giving the importance back to them, giving the onus back to them. That's how they get the respect. They're only human. They will make mistakes. Every referee, every official, from whether you're refereeing rugby league, rugby union, football, umpiring at cricket, whatever sport you're doing, as I say, get rid of the video referee, give the importance back to them.
Here's
a thought. And you have to accept whatever they see, whatever they give, and that's what we accept.
Here's a thought then. Going on that, get rid of the ref, I'm all for that. Do you then put them in a team? You used to do this in the football. You had the same linesman with the same referee.
Yeah.
If you've got the same touch here, like being in a team, you get to know if your mate's getting it right, you get to know if he's getting it wrong.
Yeah, build that relationship.
I just wonder if that's the way we go.
Do you think we're seeing more full-time officials running the line than we have in previous years?
Too many. For what an official, a touch judge does, why are we not exposing
the less get people? More people involved.
It is what it is.
I agree. I think
that could be the way. Maybe met teams and say, right, this is where you are, and he's your reserve, so if you're on or whatever, you know, he's the guy that's with you. I think then you get the referee will trust the guy that's with
him.
And that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Rookie of the year, Massi Matonga.
Possibly. What about his dive for that try, Scully? Meadows laughed.
Yeah.
He knew he was going to score. And he thought, "Oh my God,
I've got to celebrate!
What am I going to do?
I would imagine the players when they've seen it on the video and they've done the remit and whatever, they will be ripping it to him. I'll tell you what, I bet you don't see it again.
Awful! He tried the big Chris Aston about half an inch off the floor.
Yeah, I bet you don't see it again.
Then he booted the ball in the air, nearly missed the ball.
Yeah, you won't see it again.
He's got a talent though.
The kid can play.
Thriving on being given a chance. Yeah. It's funny that, isn't it? Young lad getting
a
chance.
It is. Go out there and show what you can do. And if you play well, you stay there. Off I go then. Yeah. Simple.
And helped by Liam Watts moving on as well. So made the most of his opportunity.
Yeah.
Nominations for best signing. Martin Rudyard at Fev.
Yes. That is a good one.
Richie Miley, Josh Charnley, Liam Watts, Bryson Goodwin.
He's been very good.
Jake Truman for rookie. Also, Josh Wood at Salford, says Peter. So, plenty of names out there. Peter's also asked us, what is the retirement age for officials?
50.
I genuinely don't know.
It's 50, isn't it?
You don't see many going on that long, though, do you?
Yeah, it's 50. Yeah.
Stephen said, regarding TV, regarding matches, rather, not being played on late nights, he meant the ones that aren't on TV. Which is fair enough. We know what he meant, Stephen. And John says the NFL officials are in teams, the best team officiates the Super Bowl.
Agree with that. I think there's some merit in that. I don't see why we've got to watch the likes of James Child running. That's not criticism of James. I don't see why we need him running the line.
I agree, yeah.
I don't see why we need that.
I think the question is, has full-time professional referees made a difference? And I think that some work needs to be done on analysing how you would determine that.
I think we've lost some good referees.
But I don't think it's helped the sport.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Yeah. We have. Yeah, some quality referees.
Again, you look at Jack Smith as an example, who went from being full time to part time. He's doing as many Super League games as he did when he was full time.
Is it Ewer from Whitehaven? Yeah. He's doing Super League games and he's only part time.
So, has it worked? Has it helped? Probably not. Are they over analysing themselves, perhaps?
Yeah, they are. Yeah. I'll tell you what, when I was looking at the officials yesterday, our game keeping, you want to see how long it takes them to warm up? And stretch.
And I bet there's 12 of them that come as a masseurs.
You know, what do you need all that for? Eh? Hmm? Too shit. You know, it's just become too technical for him.
Yeah.
It has. That's what
just
it is.
Just blow your whistle.
Too technical. Give me what you see.
Prediction time. Can I borrow a pen? Phil Kaplan, please.
I'll tell you what, find a pen in here.
Can't have vote in here.
No.
Well, Leeds normally don't mind going to the cake with nothing and hold themselves. Well, yeah, good victory. Against Widnes, but it just wasn't a point.
Shall we just cut to the chase and just put you down for 3 out of 6?
It wasn't a polished performance from there, and dare I say, Mackinac wasn't responsible from Leeds. They always seem to do well at the KCOM, and this time I reckon it's going to be a 7-point difference to the Rhinos. So Richie Myler would have learnt. He would have learnt setting up for the goal kick. I'm going for Leeds by 7.
I think this is a difficult one to call because Hull desperately needed to win last week to haul themselves back into the race for the top four. And if they beat Leeds, they go above them. They've also had a little bit more rest. It's only a day, but it does make a difference at this time of year. But I'll go Leeds very narrowly, as you would expect.
Rich?
I'm stealing Matthew's tips because he's gone for the four. I'm going to go for Leeds.
I'm going to go for Hull.
Right.
Ooh, no, surprise. Well, you moaned last week and I went for Wigan and who won? Wigan. It's a shuttle.
Surprise, surprise.
I just wonder about Leeds last week and something in that tiredness.
And you can't be tired playing sport, I keep telling
well,
you.
They were tired at the end, mate, I'll tell you. And they ran out of steam. And I just wonder if does he change his team around. I'm going to go Hull. Although I acknowledge the record is rubbish against Leeds and...
Well, the record at Wigan was rubbish, but they turned that around.
They did. Salford Wakefield, live on Proper Sport, as is all Leeds, by the way.
Yeah, it's a big one, this. Big one. Salford, well, good victory against Huddersfield. Wakefield, yeah, Chessie has already said he's put the marker down for the players. There's no point in beating St. Helens, no point in being the pretty boys and going to Salford and getting turned over. So this will be an interesting one. I don't think there'll be much in it, but again, I'm going with a point, a drop goal difference. Finney, 7-point difference. I'm going Wakefield by 7.
All right. Phil?
Salford narrowly. You bonkers.
Let's never speak about that again.
Wakefield. Wakefield.
Yeah. I'm going to go Wakefield by 18. I think they turn it on this week. They've had some tough games. I think they turn it on.
Wakefield by 18.
Big Dave might be back as well. Yeah, Wakefield by 18.
He might not be either.
Right, we've got to get through these. St. Helens against Huddersfield.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Huddersfield.
How many? Just tell how many.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say, Huddersfield are rubbish. I'm going St. Helens by 44.
44? Is that all?
I'm going to show the League One now. What's going on?
Scully doing this. I'll tell you what, that's the best team talk you've ever given at Huddersfield. And you've been the coach there. Phil, go on.
Just Saints. I never.
Hey, listen.
I've got to give you a margin.
I've got Tony Smith, Malcolm, and John Keir.
Oh, shut
there.
Up!
St. Helens.
Supercoach. St. Helens by how many?
I don't know. 28 or something. I don't know. It's a
well, he's having a pop at me by saying 44.
No, look, they've got a few missing. I don't think it, I think they will get up for this a little bit, Huddersfield, but I'm still going 20. Right, moving on quickly. Wigan Cass.
Big one.
That's
big
the
one.
Game.
I don't think there won't be much in this whatsoever, and they'll both be ripping in. Cass won't change the style of play from there, but you just feel as though Wigan, they've just got that mental philosophy where it doesn't matter if we're behind, we're just going to keep playing for the full 80 minutes. I'm going to go 7 points again, and I'm going to go 7 by Wigan.
Yeah, I think from what we saw of the grit of Wigan over the last 2 weeks, that they'll just have enough. Wigan narrowly.
The pies.
Cass. Got to do. Can't be having a clean sweep for Wigan. Warrington Bradford, that's in the cup, isn't it? Oh, we've only got 4 games, haven't
we? Yeah. Should do York and Catalan.
Yeah. Well, we're all going to go for York, aren't we?
Yeah.
No, I think Catalan will win.
Do you?
Are you bonkers, Kaplan?
No, Catalan.
Are you bonkers? I'm going York by 13.
13?
It's going to be drop goal Barman this week in the rugby league. It's drop goals.
Sorry, Rich. I'm going to go Catalans narrowly.
Oh, come on. Do me a favour.
I want York to win.
I'm going York. Right, so.
Well, think of the competition.
Let's have a look elsewhere. Oldham Hull KR, a replay of last year? Oldham not so out of the year.
2 years ago.
2 years ago, was it? Yeah, well, I'll tell you what as well, it's that 4G pitching on. It's got him playing all right, Scott Naylor, nice and quick around the play of the ball, right off the quick play of the ball. Young Hewitt's not a bad scrum half there for Oldham. I'm going Oldham to beat Hull KR, and I'm going again by the number 7. It's going to be a drop ball in the game.
It's not Rugby Union, you.
I'm going 7.
It's not Rugby Union.
Oldham by 7.
Phil?
Hull KR.
Rich?
The Rovers.
Yeah, I'm going Rovers as well. We'll have one more. Newcastle Keith like Sunday. Scully, come on, be quick.
I thought that's a response. Keithley by 10.
Yeah. Phil?
Newcastle.
The Thunder.
Rich?
Don't you,
Mark?
Don't you dare. I'm not having it.
We'll be there with his winnings from the York. Don't worry, mate. We'll be there. We are done for another week. We're live, don't forget, on Thursday. Hull, Leeds, Friday, it's Wakefield at Salford. Proper Sport Rugby League brought to you by Pontefract Racecourse Host. Their third annual Rugby League evening, Monday the 11th of June. Meet the players, coaches from Castleford, Wakefield, Huddersfield and Featherstone. They'll all be there. It's a great night of racing off for six top quality races, including the Mr. Wolf Sprint, which commemorates one of the all-time Ponty greats. Bring your season ticket, get grandstand and paddock entry to Pontefract's Rugby League evening for just a fiver, or the VIP tickets at £42 for adults, £10 for children. The perfect chance to get up close to your Rugby League favourites. We'll be there as well. For more details or to book, visit pontefract-races.co.uk. If you've only caught half the show, please download, subscribe to the podcast. If you've caught all the show, let everyone know there's a podcast available. They can catch up with it as well. Thanks to Gary, thanks to Phil, thanks to Richard. More importantly, thanks to you for listening in your numbers and all your interaction. If we didn't get to you, we can only apologise. We'll be back next week with scores 3 out of 7. We'll see you then. Live.